Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie. Welcome to the show. This is Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, and this is on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Today, it's like it is on Fridays and Saturdays. This is Free Reading Saturday. So I also have a guest with me today named Candy O'Donnell, and she has a show here on Block Talk Radio called Literary Scribes. Welcome to the show, Candy. How are you?
I am doing very well, Donnie. Thank you so much for asking me on. I'm glad we finally pinpointed a day.
Yes, you know, sometimes it takes some, I guess, busy schedules.
Yes.
Yeah, so just like that. I know, I understand, too. I've had some people who wanted me to come on their show, and we probably had to move it back to March. So one of those things is just getting things in square. So how are you? And tell everybody a little bit about you. Maybe they've never heard of your show. And
well, I am actually also Literary Scribes. I'm in the chat room, so hello to everybody. And I just plugged in my homepage, my website, which is candyodonnell.net, and that will tell everybody a little bit about who I am and what I do. I'm also a published author. I have two published books out right now. One is called Seeing with Psychic Eyes, and the other one I actually spoke to you and Courtney in the chat room about a week or so ago on your other show when you guys were discussing Atlantis.
I actually went on Amazon and found it, and we actually,
it's called Past Life Memoirs of Atlantis, One Person's Journey, and on my website, candyodonnell.net, it tells everybody where they can find it and what it's what it details and all that. And I just signed, actually, earlier this week, another contract for something totally different, and it's actually a vampire romance novel that I wrote probably about 3 years ago. And
really?
Somebody's finally going to publish it. So, and actually, that's due out later this month, so it should be up on the website probably by early March.
So, with the situation of publishing, This is like an actual publishing thing, not one of those self-published books?
Nope, not self. The one that comes out later this month, it's not self-publishing. It's published by an actual publisher. They're called XOXO Publishing. They've been around for a few years, and I've published a little things here and there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so my first two books were actually, in a way, I kind of consider them self-published because I went through Publish America. If you know about them, you know. I mean, they're okay to deal with, but you never know how many books you sell. That's the problem.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, at least with these.
Right. No, I was just asking the question because I'm actually trying to put a book together right now myself and just trying to figure out how to even get the thing even started and the whole thing.
Well, I know a lot of people, because on my show, Literary Scribes, I'll interview authors, and a lot of them have gone on CreateSpace, and they have had wonderful luck with it. The folks there are so nice and so helpful. So I have actually thought, I have a few books in the wings that, maybe mm-hmm. that's what I'll do with them.
Craig's you know? Space.
Yeah, it's called Create Space, yeah. And it's through
space.
Amazon. A lot of people have
right.
heard of it. It's a self-publishing thing, and you pay, you know, X amount of money, anywhere from, like, I think it's $3.99 to almost $1,000. And it just depends on how you want to go about it, you know. If you
mm-hmm.
do the lower amount. Matter of fact, a friend of mine just put out a book late last year, and she had, yeah, Create Space, Guided Truth, just threw it up on the, in the chat room. And it is very easy to do, Guided Truth. My friend said that the whole, from start to finish, they were with you every step of the way, and then they walked you through it. So if you didn't understand anything, they will help you, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That's different.
Yeah.
Because I was just, you know, actually what I had done, I had figured out how you can actually put pictures on your shows. I just figured it out, and I actually found your book on Amazon.com, the one about Atlantis.
Yes.
And it's actually on this show. And you go out to look at the original page and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody sees it.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, so I was like, it's like one of those things when you find out a new toy. So I started to go, oh, this is cool. We're going to do this some more. So
yeah.
I heard you say something about Amazon.com, so I went down and sure enough, found it. It was very easy to find, too. So, it's a good book.
Yeah, it's a very interesting book, and I never really was able to call in to you and Courtney and discuss it. You know, it's actually about my life in Atlantis, and I was a young boy, and I lived to be about 120 years old. And the book stems from when I'm a child until my death. So,
mm-hmm.
it's about 70,000 words. So, and it took me 6 months to write.
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months is how it started out was, you know, I started having dreams, and I thought, well, this is very interesting. And then I went to some friends, you know, had some psychic friends, and I had a friend who is a hypnotherapist, and so, you know.
You did this?
Yeah, I gained more information that way, so all my dreams were, yeah, they were right on target, and then when I started writing it, it literally just wrote itself.
Okay, so some of the things that I was actually saying on the air from the things I picked up myself, did they hit pretty close to home or what?
Yes, Tony. You were right on the money. And it's really funny because that particular lifetime was just before the third fall of Atlantis. So, and actually that was my first lifetime, you know, on the planet Earth.
Yeah, because they were talking about the race that was, some people say that the ones that was before Atlantis, what are they called? I think it starts with an L.
Oh, the Lemurians?
Yeah, Lemurians.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm just saying from my experiences, they were actually, they were the ones who evolved into the Atlanteans.
That's
and,
what I've heard, too.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. And I was also, we were talking about so many things about why people always think that those runways those things that they're talking about out, from what I understand, they're in Peru, where they've actually leveled off the top of those plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
And that one guy was like trying to say, well, it's incredible that someone actually leveled them off to put these things down that look like runways. But he said the most amazing thing to him was you can't even find what they did with the excess.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, okay, but they always go right to the aliens. And I'm like, in some sense, it seems like to me sometimes people have a tendency to say things and they're actually covering something up but telling you something flat out that is also truthful too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's alien to us to even think about such things. And they have a tendency to put things to us like that. I've been watching that a lot on History Channel. They have a show on every Thursday. It's called Alien Astronauts. And
okay.
It talks about the history of a lot of things. And so they have a tendency to go with the idea of aliens. And the one thing they focused on the most was this building in Rome, where it's a huge building, and it's got three slabs for the floor that weigh about 360 tons apiece.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about certain things and why would they do these. What was the purpose? We understand that they were trying to build these things to last forever, but what was the purpose with these things? And we were talking about this yesterday, and the reason I was bringing it up, because I always felt like Khufu, who was Egyptian, supposedly.
Yeah.
I felt like he was actually a last of the Atlanteans that had actually started that.
Yeah, it feels like it to me, too. I agree.
That started that civilization, and they were like, well, how's that? I said, they were sort of telling you how long it took to build the Great Pyramid, which everybody thinks Khufu did that. And I think what's so funny about Khufu, you can't find really much anything about him. They've only found a statue about 3 inches tall.
Yeah.
With any kind of resemblance to him. And I said, I feel like he was an Atlantean. I feel like he was the one to set the tone in some sense. And it's like how if you ever saw, there was a story about, I think he was the one where supposedly he had a dream that he'd become pharaoh because he wasn't really of royal blood.
Mm-hmm.
But he was. And, you know, it's one of those things of, I guess you call it a straggling Atlantean. When you have Atlanteans who came here to start the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Their culture and everything, because we saw that too. I was like, the one thing I was talking about was the idea that everybody said, well, if you go to all these cultures, they had to come up with their own language and their own alphabet and the whole bit. I said, well, what if they were all, about they had evolved to the point where all they did was telepathically and all they did was talk mind to mind. And so then when you come to start these cultures and you're dealing with, because I think there was other people on the earth too as well.
Mm-hmm.
That they were working with, so they developed these alphabets, but they could have also been the ones that introduced them to them, and then they were very intelligent people, so they, you know, you okay?
Yeah, I have allergies.
So hearing
your voice coughing and hacking. Yeah, I totally agree. During that lifetime in Atlantis, I remember that a lot of the people who were leaving, because in that particular lifetime, my mother actually went to Egypt, and because they were, you know,
mm-hmm.
wanting healers there, and I knew some people that, you know, most of them would go that direction towards Egypt, but then some would go towards South America. So I always had the feeling that this one particular Atlantean princess, when she went, you know, the opposite way towards South America, that she was became part of the Mayans. So that always stuck with me, and I always thought, gosh, I wonder how long, you know, whenever Atlantis, just before it fell, when she left, I wonder how old the Mayans were, even if they had started yet.
Hold on.
Here.
Freaking dog. Got a crazy dog going nuts over here, little chihuahua. Just staying out of arm's reach trying to get the whole thing. Put him downstairs. No, I was talking to a friend of mine. We've actually been talking about this a lot lately in the last couple of weeks, even on my show, where it's like people who are kind of wondering about Atlantis here sitting talking about survivors and stuff and saying, well, I think it's kind of crazy. The Egyptians were like this straggling people with no organization at all. I mean, they were just there. And all of a sudden, they just picked up and became this great empire. I just, you know.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, huh?
Yeah, because it happened suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the whole thing. And I was talking to this one lady. I said, and to get to you, because I had a lady on yesterday, and we did a past life with her where it was just, she had this really guilt with her. And I told her, I said, because she was like, we're talking about Atlantis, and she was came up in the situation where she felt like she left a lot of people behind, and she thought, well, maybe she lived many, many lifetimes. And I'm not saying she didn't, but it seemed like there was a great masses of people, and I picked up that she was an Atlantis. And I said, imagine this, imagine if you had mass consciousness, you know, this great civilization and mass consciousness. Everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still individuality, and it's kind of, you know, everybody's sitting there going, I'm trying to visualize that, of having individuality, but everybody knows what's going on. But they also have this mass consciousness, and they use crystals, and from the energy of having this mass consciousness, there's an energy source with that. So they tapped into that and created this unlimited energy source by using crystals that was also aware of itself.
Yes.
So, you know, the Atlanteans are like, okay, how do you keep this in balance? Well, you keep focusing positive thoughts and focusing on peace and tranquility. And I told them, I said, you ever imagine mass meditation where you have masses of people meditating at the same time? And, you know, certain things going on like that. But I said, imagine being tapped into that. And I said, it kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? Except we call it the economy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, and you got this thing going, this mass energy source. And I never really clicked with me until I saw this movie that was a Disney movie called Atlantis, The Lost Empire, when they had this energy source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it was conscious of itself. And I said, well, of course it's conscious of itself. I mean, if it's made, if it's actually an energy source, and if you, I'm seriously, if you put all that energy together, people, all, if everybody thought and focused on nothing but positive, that would create a really strong energy, especially if it was a worldly thing. But I said, well, imagine, okay, you're in a situation where it destroyed. You know, where you're from is destroyed, and you go to places that you're familiar with. Because we was actually picking up a couple of people that one day where this one lady, she lives in Canada, but I felt like she had these really strong connections to Ireland and Iceland. She was really connections to Iceland. But I saw her as in living under the water.
Oh, wow.
And they would visit the places around Iceland and stuff. They would actually, and it was like, and I saw this vision. It was Atlanteans, and there was at these outposts, I call them. There's an outpost in Atlantis, in the Atlantic Ocean, the Bermuda Triangle. There's one in China. There's one in Iceland. And there's also one about Japan, and I think there's a fifth one.
Japan. I was just worried to say that.
Yeah, so they've got these outposts everywhere, and I said what they would do is they would come up through there, come up out of the water, and visit the places around. So the people in the Atlantic Ocean would go to the islands. And we actually had a lady on that I saw her there, too. And I said, you love bananas, don't you? Because you used to go from Atlantis Outpost and go to these places around there and explore those places. But also, you got vegetation and stuff because, you know, Atlanteans were good at surviving wherever they were. And under the ocean, they were great to interact with nature. So they knew what they could and couldn't do. But there were times where you wanted to venture out and, ooh, bananas. You know, this have a little. I mean, I'm tired of seaweed, but things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, we got this thing going on here, and people. I said, I've always seen it. I had a couple of people I've talked to where I see the force field over top of the city, and it's always a dome shape. It's always like an aqua blue, and each one of these places is always an aqua blue. Even when I sit there and focus on the Mediterranean, I always feel like there's still survivors that are still, they still live under the ocean there too. And a nice little, you know, aqua blue dome. And it's basically when they basically learned how to create this energy source, they also took out and explored other places. And wherever they went, they didn't have to worry about it because they knew how to create an unlimited energy source. So it powered the dome. And I saw this on Star Trek, too, where they actually have force fields that you can go in and out of, and you never have to turn them off. Our culture is even coming up way now where it's like having a wall, and then a wall's not there anymore. You can walk through it. So there's all these things coming up now. I'm sitting there going, okay, guys. And I always do this, too. I'm telling people, you're finally catching up.
Exactly. I feel the same way. It's like, whew, it's about time.
Yeah, because you're sitting there going, yeah, because I told a friend of mine, I said, how come I look at this technology that we have now? Do you guys think so far advanced? And every time I look at it, I'm like, it's so primitive. So,
yeah, I do too. I'm just, you know, it's funny that you say that because in Atlantis, I did all kinds of things. You know, I could move things with my mind, and I'm thinking, gosh, what's wrong with me that I can't do this here? You know, what's wrong with everybody else that they can't do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when I heard that, oh well, they're working on it. It's like, oh no, we should be doing it now.
No, that's what I was trying to tell them. I said, if you go watch that movie, the Disney movie. And you'll see where Milo takes the crystal and he sticks it in this machine and he puts his hand on the pad and he puts the crystal in it and just started. I said, I'm sorry guys, but that's a human concept, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That you have to put something into something else to start it. I said, if you actually look what they're doing, the machine itself has the crystal in it.
Yes.
So why would you need another crystal to start it? So it was like, I said, take the key away and take the hand away. Now just use your mind to start it and go where you want to go. In India, they have this thing, and that's why I was saying that I feel like Atlanteans and the outposts still exist because of influences. If you see throughout culture, like India, the magic carpet.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in that culture that would give you an ideal of magic carpet. Yeah, they have genies, okay? But they have the story of the genie. The genie doesn't need an apparatus to fly because he's a genie.
Exactly.
Also, if you check the story about the genie too, there is no three wishes. It's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a story of manifestation. And that's what I was saying when we were talking about the energy source. We're talking about the interest. We call it the economy now because we give this thing this energy that basically controls us. When actually the Atlanteans figured it out. No, we control the energy source. So as long as we keep ourselves in a certain state, then it will keep that way. And when you start realizing how powerful you are, you constantly, the meditations and the chakra clearings and all the things that we're starting to do now, it's just a way of opening up a lot of things, but also grounding to maintain that we will not misuse our gifts. I don't feel like the Atlanteans misused their gifts. I feel like it was more of alien races that they let come into their cities. And I think this reason we have some of these outposts is because some of the Atlanteans just got tired of the influence and said, and Atlanteans are not one of those people who like to argue. They just look at you and go, okay, do what you want. And that's what they did. They went off and did what they wanted. So the idea of saying they destroyed themselves, it's another human concept of it, to a story, to understand why a culture of that magnitude would not be around anymore. So the humans at that time came up with a story like King Arthur. I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, King Arthur. I said, I've had a past life with that one. That
you do?
Yes.
Yeah, so, it's like Excalibur. Man, when I saw that movie, when it came out, I'm like, yeah, I was there.
But then I saw I saw King Arthur before he was King Arthur when they were actually in, it was that movie, it just came out called King Arthur, and what it's called, Arthur, I think it's called, where it's like, it's be him, where they're indebted to the Roman Empire because of something their fathers did or something, I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the thing about how the round table came up and what it was all about. The round table was actually and basically created because of equal, to be equal. Equality.
Mm-hmm.
King Arthur himself was just a person who was focusing on balance. He sounds like somebody that was from another culture, doesn't he? But tracing his roots back. But I told a friend of mine, I said, if you ever saw that movie, to me, that rang more true than anything else. Because King Arthur and Sir Lancelot, what was his buddy's name? Sir
Lancelot,
right? Yeah, Lancelot. They were almost the same age. They were like buds. They were friends. They were best friends. And in that movie, actually Sir Lancelot actually gave himself to save Arthur because he knew Arthur was destined for greatness. So he actually stepped in front of the sword. And also Guinevere, they were all on the same level. I mean, I love the movie because she's out there doing the same thing they're doing, which makes more sense of a savage time in a sense, you know. That everybody would be in that kind of sense of working together, and to even be with someone to be with King Arthur would have to be balanced, a balanced relationship. So therefore, the ideal, what we know now is reflection. I'm sure reflection has been going on a very long time.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying with the situation, a lot of the things that were there, and when I was sitting there watching, I just saw this not too long ago. And don't worry, guys out there. We are gonna do some free readings today. So just hang in there, and we'll definitely get to you all. So just give us a little bit of time here to indulge in this little topic that we got going on here. But I just saw there's a movie coming out. It's a Marvel comic that's coming out called Thor.
I've seen the preview for it, and it looks fabulous.
And I sit there and said, do you want to get a glimpse of Atlanteans? I said, take a look at that culture, because that's actually magic and technology mixed together.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was like, and also with King Arthur and that kind of stuff, it's like the ideal of some of the thing. A lot of people came up with the betrayal story because at that time, it was, you know, that to them, I guess, was romance. somebody always gets betrayed, and you're like, okay, sure. But if you lived that time, the idea of chivalry was very strong too as well. So there was a lot of stuff that you would see happen in these movies that normally wouldn't have happened in those times. They wouldn't have got that far. But when I saw this movie that they were showing these two as best friends, and one wasn't extremely younger than the other. I mean, don't get me wrong, Sean Connery does a good King Arthur.
Yeah.
but I'm just saying, the truth can be as not as exciting as fiction sometimes as well. Because, I mean, it's like looking at the situations and realizing that a lot of things are true that you never thought were true before. So it kind of puts a little twist to everything. So it's not so boring. I just thought it was fascinating when we started seeing those two together and some of the things that people are fascinated with now that are coming to the light. And I thought it was kind of fun. I did see the previews to Thor when his father kicks him out of.
Yes.
I forget what their kingdom's called.
Yeah, I forgot too.
Yeah, I know Mount Olympia is that's the Greek gods, the Roman gods, and then we have the Northern gods, which is totally different. And we've actually gone over this where it's just clusters of different alien races in some sense, but also. We were talking, what was the other day we were talking about the show? It's called Aliens and Gods. Are they the one and the same? And what spawned that show was actually the vision of me seeing Romans seeing these advanced races coming to here. They were thinking they're gods. And then think about the aliens knowing, having the Atlanteans and everything. You can read minds. So therefore, you can read these people's thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you know what their gods are about. So some of these alien races actually use that. The lady we did the other day was when we were talking about her being Atlantis. The reason she felt so guilty was because she came here with, I think, I've always gotten six Atlanteans to help, to actually influence the Egyptian culture. And there was a couple of them that actually misused their powers. That's where it came up, where the idea of guilt and scared of using your powers. It wasn't the idea of misusing your powers when you was in Atlantis in certain situations, but it was after certain things had happened. And some of these people that we call survivors that were influencing these other cultures, you would have people that were no longer a part of a mass consciousness, so therefore really took on individuality and misused their powers, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
That this lady actually saw a couple of these people do this to some of the local people, and she felt guilty because she didn't do anything about it.
Yeah,
And it was like one of those things, not really knowing what to do, because it's like, it's the first time for everybody doing these certain things too.
Mm-hmm.
So they were trying to go. So I was just picking up on things there. I said, you feel guilty about a lot of things, you know. So you kind of make yourself powerless, so you won't misuse what you know you can do.
Yeah.
And she was like, my gosh, that's exactly what I do to myself all the time.
Yeah. Well, she's here to try to get over that.
Yeah, I know. It's like you sit there looking and going, yeah, you need to sit there and go, you know something? That was then, this is now.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, there's a lot of people that would really in need of your services.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We were talking this the other day, too, about if you meditate, there's a certain gland in your brain that actually gets stimulated, which I think has a lot to do with everything that we see, because we're talking about Khufu building the pyramid. And I got my story of him, the reason we didn't have the story of the true story, and you really can't get an idea of what's going on. There's like mixed, it's like back and forth. And I got this, I was center focusing on that, and I've always got this twice. It's a nice vision of him building the Great Pyramid with his telepathic powers and the levitation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Great Pyramid was like his ego trip. Of see what he could do,
mm-hmm,
with his levitation. And what he did was, he built this thing, and he overexerted himself, and he actually had an aneurysm, which killed him. Okay? Because he strained too much, which was also, you know, it was a part of the brain that kind of went spastic. Well, actually, a blood vessel broke, but it was, he overworked him because he just got so egotistic about certain things. And some of the stories I hear about that guy, too, from the, you can actually check out certain things. You can get little bits and pieces here from some of the other people that work there. I've actually done past lives with people who actually worked on the pyramid itself.
Oh, wow.
But the idea of what people were saying, that this thing was built in 28 years, if you actually sit, like that one guy said, if you do the math, 28 years, that means you're putting a block in about every 2 minutes. And I'm sitting there going, okay, hold on, Matt, you can put, there's no way. If you got 100 people pulling one brick, one block, which estimated between, you know, some of these things were like tons.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Just a ton. They were tons things going on. And I'm sitting there going, okay, they show graphics of it, but when you sit there, like I told a friend of mine, when I look at all these hieroglyphs and they're showing you these things and how they built the pyramid, because people still say that they don't know how they built the pyramids. The reason I say that is because they don't know, because they don't make no sense. So that's why they keep saying, we're not sure about this. Because to do what they're saying they're going to do wouldn't work. The ideal, so it's like they're trying to convince you. That's why I've always told people, the more you try to convince me of something on that part, the less likelihood I'm going to believe you. Because you're trying to convince me of something that should be pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. What do you think about that?
I think that there's just so much stuff out there, and it's very difficult to, you know, believe it all, if you know what I mean, because everybody has their own theory, their own, you know, opinion, you know, on this or that. And back to Atlantis, I felt the same way when I, going under hypnosis and everything, I had guilt. And my guilt stemmed from I left just before it collapsed. And I felt guilty because I thought that I was the one at fault. But, you know, upon, you know, introspection, it wasn't me. It was they want, like you said, everybody's on their own path and everybody's going to believe what they want to believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're told, hey, you know, this is going to happen, they have to see it for themselves. But by that time, it was too late.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those things where we said before that if you're... you got mass consciousness, and I was telling this on the show with Courtney. We were talking about just imagine an alien culture coming in there and seeing that we had this mass thing going on. They used it to their advantage.
Oh yes, and that's what happened.
Yeah, so
there were so many people from other lands that came in, and I remember I even wrote it in my book, and I thought, oh my gosh, you know, this is so not right. You know, they're coming in, they're changing everything. I mean, every single thing that the Atlanteans were already doing to what they wanted because they were selfish, you know, and they were from different lands and different places. And I remember thinking, gosh, I got to get out of here.
It's the same thing, too, when they came up with that one culture, they found the Mediterranean. I can't remember what they're called, but they had
the Minoans?
The Minoans. And they said it was a very powerful economic civilization.
Yes.
And I said, you know something? I can see where you guys would think that would be the Atlanteans, but you're not really expanding your mind out. But I also tell people, watch what you... I mean, I'm watching things on television and stuff like that. I'm very fascinated with the whole thing. But at the same time, I also listen to myself. And I keep saying, nope. I said, you're right. They got a great culture. They were also a culture that also had their houses and their culture, and they blended it with nature. They worked one and they worked you know, with nature and stuff, so their houses were created a certain way. They had running water and stuff like that. But why can't we look at these people as a culture that was spun off from other people who came from Atlantis too? I mean, when I was talking about the runways in Peru, I was saying, how come we never thought about the runways actually being something that could be Atlantean runways? Because I said, look around now. We have airports and stuff we don't use now because of where we started. So the Atlanteans were not, I mean, if you had a culture like that, I can't imagine. That's what, because we said that the other day, I said, we're talking about all these little spots around the country, and I said, people saying, well, I found Atlantis. I said, what if you're all right?
It's true.
Yeah, because I was sitting there saying, and how much control do the Atlanteans have over them not being found too as well? Because of, it seems like I see a lot of people who get a lot of interest in the whole thing. And the one I found I just found a book not too long ago, it was 2 years ago, where the guy says he thinks it's in the oceans around China, at the base of China.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 2 years ago. How come they get focused on it really intensely, and also they lose interest in the whole thing.
I heard that Antarctica was, you know, the possible site for Atlantis, and I'm like, it didn't even feel right to me. I'm like, no.
Yeah, and I sit there and say, I told someone, I said, there could be. I said, Antarctica? No, how about, try Iceland. And I said, because this one guy, we had a caller call in and said, okay, why would they build these things under the water? I said, think about this. The Atlanteans work one on one with nature. Okay, yeah. So if you put a city under the ocean, put a force field over it, the water would reinforce that force field It would protect you. Because if you had a culture on top of the ocean, we've already seen these oil rigs getting slashed everywhere because of storms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you're under the ocean, you don't get affected by this.
Exactly.
So, you know, you sit here and I said, it sounds logical to me, guys, come on. How come scientists haven't figured these things out? We're sitting here looking at runways and this and that and the other, and you guys all keep thinking it's Atlantean. Every time you see something, they say it's alien. I keep saying, well, it's Atlantean. I said, if you had a culture the size of this one, would you just stay on an island?
No.
Or would you be venturing out? I said, has anybody ever been to New York Harbor? It's a huge harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Now imagine something 10 times bigger than that, maybe 20 times bigger than that. That's the Atlanteans and their ship ports, but they also had a spaceport too as well. That worked for a while. There are some alien races that don't like to interfere. Did you ever think where Star Trek got it from? It's like some of these cultures realized you screwed up, you did something you shouldn't have done, so therefore they came up with their little thing of staying out of people's business. We was also talking about, okay, if these outposts exist, how come the Atlanteans that were on the main Atlantis and the Mediterranean, how come they didn't know about these outposts? I said, that's because Atlanteans focus on the now. They focus on what's going on with them at that time in their lives. And people who cross their paths, they take notice of those things, but they don't think anything else. So they take it one step further and say, okay, whatever's going on in the world, even if it's a part of Atlantis, it's none of my business. That's their business. So I focus on the now right here and what's going on. So they didn't know about these things. And if they did know about these things, I just feel like they didn't. I just feel like a couple of them did. You know, we had people leave, and we know why they left to do what they did. But I guess it's kind of hard to understand to people telepathic skills.
Yes.
Okay. Then the ideal records and all that kind of stuff would exist to extremes, but not like we do today. I mean, we have records on everybody's personal lives.
Oh yes.
That to them was taboo because that's invasion of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But history and things like that was going on. Of course, there was libraries and stuff. But when something like that gets destroyed, and some of the technology gets destroyed with it. I mean, we know how computers are. Once you destroy a computer, that all that information is gone.
Oh yes.
So I told someone, I said, it makes sense to me. You're still thinking on the level we're talking about right now as human, a human level, I guess. I don't know what to call it. Tell you the truth. Is it a human level?
The present day level, I guess you could say.
Yeah, present day. Yeah.
Yes.
Present day of saying, you know something, I just don't get it. So I was really fascinated with your book, so
mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things where you feel like there should be a sequel.
Well, like I said, I wrote it to my death, so I don't see how there could be.
I'm just saying, you know, sometimes with a situation that the book could actually spin off, because it's the idea what you were talking about before when you're going through hypnosis and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I found people who came. And with certain cultures, but also tracing them back, even in certain lifetimes, that they could still trace their roots back to Atlantean because of what they carried with them. Because I saw this thing, I thought that was amazing what it said. It's amazing how humans have evolved. Their brain has evolved. Like long time ago, the brain was not too big. And he said, what's so funny about it? The parts that we had originally with the brain, we still have. The rest of it, the rest of the size of the brain is basically geared for memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, could it be that the brain has actually evolved to keep up with things that we want to carry with us in memory?
It would not surprise me because, you know, I actually did a show on cell memory, and we were discussing how we remember things from our past lives. And if you think about it, some of us have had hundreds of them. Well, you need a lot of capacity, like a computer,
mm-hmm.
to hang on to all that. I totally agree, Donnie. Yeah.
Yeah, and now they got this thing where they've actually done some testing and say that your brain is actually 14 times more efficient than a computer.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Actually, the last time I heard it was 14,000 times more powerful than a computer for storing and that kind of stuff. The biggest problem we have sometimes with situations that we're not actually taught how to recall it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we could actually be taught how to recall it, it's still there. Because our brains do work to, you know, have your computer. The reason you have to do a, what's it called? something. Defrag it. Because every time you do anything on your computer puts it in memory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with your brain too. When you see something, your brain automatically takes it and puts it in memory. Now there are some things it doesn't. But I said, this one guy had a great concept. He said, if you could take everything and put it in the same kind of memory as is that you do with your name, your address, and things like that, then you would never forget anything.
Exactly.
But I was sitting there going, that could actually be a little bit overwhelming, I think, sometimes. It depends, right?
Well, I think I would be running around, you know, it would be almost like saying the alphabet. You know, from A to Z, because that would be everything that you have downloaded in your brain. But yet, in the A category, you have like a million, you know, 100,000
mm-hmm.
things. In a B category, same thing. I mean, that would be, I don't know, I think that I would want to explode, you know, trying to, you know, mull over everything that I have, you know. I mean, I feel like I want to.
Right. No, I was telling someone, too, about being an empath, too. Being an empath, you pick up everything.
If I wasn't
allowed to express I had a friend of mine, she goes, I never met anybody who actually expresses their emotions as they're having them. I said, if I couldn't do that, I would explode. It's just the idea of picking everything up. And it's one of those things of learning to release it. And some people kind of look at it going, okay, why do you talk so much? I'm sitting there going, I've always wondered why that comment ever came out of anybody's mouth when we actually are striving more to communicate with everybody. I'm not saying talk at people, I'm saying communicate. Because
mm-hmm.
I was looking at some things saying, okay, it's amazing, we have all these devices to communicate with each other, and still we don't know how.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
We need to learn.
We,
yeah.
We have no idea how to...
there we go.
Yeah, carry on total in-depth conversations, you know, that are beneficial
mm-hmm.
to everyone involved. Yeah, I do believe that we are trying, and I've met quite a few people on Blog Talk Radio who communicate very well, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they just need some adjustments, but I know that time will take care of that.
Yeah, exactly. Do you do readings, right?
I do. I do readings on my show every Tuesdays, on Tuesdays from 7 to 8 a.m. I have a co-host named Vanda, and we do readings. And
that's great too.
Not every single week. You know, there are some weeks when, like this
mm-hmm.
upcoming Tuesday, last Tuesday I had a show, but Blog Talk kind of, they just bummed me out and it wasn't working. So, but I have a friend of mine, she's a psychic, coming on this coming Tuesday. So we'll be doing some readings for the folks. But yeah, I do enjoy doing readings. I read animals, children. The one thing that I will say that is getting more and more difficult for me is relationships. You know, like,
when
will I meet the one? You know, why is this happening? I really want to tell everybody about what is going on with relationships. Everything is changing between our, you know, our friends, the people we're supposed to be with, like lovers, family members. Everything is almost like jockeying for position. So if you have so many, you know, friends, doesn't matter who they are in your life, that all of a sudden have exited, there's a reason for this, because they are not supposed to be in your life at this time. Or you have learned what you should from them, and now it's time for you to part. And, you know, don't think of it as something sad or something, oh my gosh, you know, I just feel like I want to lay down and cry, or just let it go. Because you don't need them anymore, you know.
We're like kids.
We gotta hang on to that. No, you don't. If it's not beneficial to you or them, what's the point?
We were sitting talking the other day, and a friend of mine was talking about sacrifice, and I said, I don't believe in sacrifice. And she goes, why is that? I said, because I think it stemmed from the Bible when Jesus was sacrificed on the cross. And I said, no, I don't feel like he was sacrificed on the cross. I feel like he gave his life for what he did. what he believed in, and also the idea of being psychic. I mean, Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do when he came here.
Oh, yes.
You know, so the Saturn.
He knew from the day he was born.
Right, so I told a friend of mine, I said, if you just read that one section of the Bible, you will learn a lot of things. Now, a lot of people say they're not true, that when you read that and you really read it, they're going to go, okay, this is kind of impossible because here it is happening. And then the ideal, even Jesus said, don't focus on my birth or my death, focus on my rebirth. So therefore, if you sit and look at it, just focus on the outcome. I'm sitting there going, hold on for a minute, doesn't that sound like the law of attraction, manifestation?
Exactly.
Focus on the outcome. So he knew it was going to happen, so he didn't focus. You know, he did the things, and I told a friend of mine, I was like, I think it's so cool because from what I've been taught, and I really believe this because I saw the Passion of the Christ, mm-hmm. and people go, how'd you like that movie when you saw it? I said, you know, it wasn't as bad as it was the first time. And they're going, oh, you saw the movie? Yeah, you saw the movie. You already saw the movie? I'm like, no, I'm saying the first time. And they're going, that's really freaky. I said, I thought so too. But I said, that's my exact feeling I got when I saw the movie was, I felt it. I felt every freaking thing in the whole thing. I said, you can say a lot of things about Mel Gibson, but he got that movie right.
You know what's funny? Mel Gibson, and I don't care, you like him, you hate him, I just don't care. He is one psychic dude. You know, he does a lot of these different movies, like the one in I believe it was the Mayan Empire.
I saw that.
The one in Scotland that he played.
That was creepy.
He is. He's very psychic, and I think that is what his thing is that he has so much going on in the archives upstairs in his brain, he can't quite get it straight. And you know what's funny, Donnie?
Yeah.
I can totally relate. It isn't like I'm not going to go and go off half-cocked and do some of the things, but I think a lot of what his problem is, and there are so many people out there like this, and I seem to run into them all over the place, but there's just so much going on upstairs that they can't quite sort it out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
Just
really,
late
please.
For you.
Well, no, not really. It's just been one of those crazy days. I've been dog sitting all freaking day, off and on. I've been trying to get out of here to do some things my own self. Every time I try to leave, my mom's like, I got to go somewhere. She got to watch the dog. She's scared to death that dog's going to do something on her carpet. So we got to have somebody watching the little guy. And then my daughter has a tendency to drop in and then she leaves. She drops her daughter off and she leaves. I'm like, where are you going? She goes, didn't you get it? You're babysitting. What? Okay, thanks for the warning. And sometimes I just feel like I don't belong in this state. but I really don't. I'm sitting there going, okay, guys, angels, God, I mean, come on, guys. The opportunity should present itself right now so I can go. So I was on my website yesterday, and all of a sudden I was typing and doing some rework on my website.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden came up, and now we have this Travel to Colorado fund that you can donate to get me to Colorado where I feel like I belong, where I can feel like I can be the most productive.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like being here is like having handcuffs on.
Now, where are you at?
Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
So I told everybody, so we have this thing called the Colorado Fund. So donate your money to the Colorado Fund to get to trip back to Colorado. I had, for some reason, Colorado is calling me big time. And somebody came on my show the other day, too, did a reading for me and said, you need to get real creative. And I said, okay, what should I do? And next thing you know, this thing came up, and I just started saying, okay, if you want to, go right ahead. And if you want to donate to the Colorado Fund and just whatever you donate there, and then call me up and later on and say, hey, I'd like to get a reading for that, no problem. I'm just one of those things right now where I just want to go to Colorado because I feel like once I get there, the first time I went there, it was like going home.
Wow.
So I told everybody, I said, I need to go there. I said, and I'm not a person who likes the cold, but for some reason, I love Colorado. So there you go. Then we're going to start doing readings here. And if you want to call and get a private reading with me, the number is 937-838-6337. Or you can get me at my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. I'm actually thinking about changing that to also because my show is called Psychic X Journeyman. And everybody thinks that's so cool, and I actually found out that X is actually an ancient symbol for infinity. So
cool.
It kind of goes along with my theory that I'm going to live forever, and for some reason these little symbols keep coming up everywhere. that kind of reinforce that. So I think I'm going to go along with that. And right now until February 14th, you can get a reading from me by just calling the show for $10. We have $10 sessions and $5 sessions. So I don't call them hour sessions anymore because I, for some reason, I just never get in there for an hour. They're always longer. So $10 a session, $5 a session, and then after February 14th, it's going to be $175 for an hour session, $85 for a half an hour session, and $65 for a 15-minute session. But also, if you look at my website, you'll also notice, I tell everybody, if you still want to take advantage of the $10 specials and the $5 specials, you just go to my website and donate. Go to the donation button and just go through there because everything else has been changed. But you also see that for $175, you can get a session. But you can also, if you're a person that would like to get some sessions spread out over the year, you can actually get 11 sessions for $175 too as well. And the same with the other ones. It's $85 a session, or I think it's 6 sessions for $85. It's just giving people choices, what you can do, what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some people like the ideal. And I don't know what this is. I've done this before with advertising. I was charging $50 for advertising. Nobody wanted it. As soon as I started charging $200 for advertising, which a friend told me, he said, don't go down, go up. I'm like, are you crazy? No one's buying now. Go up. Okay, so I went up. Sure enough, people went for it and started wanting to buy that. I'm like, I don't understand that. And my friend said, don't try to understand it.
Just go with it.
Just go with it. So I was working on Keen. I don't know if you know what Keen is. It's a site on the web that has, it's a, like an advice. You can go there and sell advice. But what the biggest part of Keen is psychics. And I used to be on there. And I was sitting there one time. I was like 99 cents a minute. Decided to go up to, someone was telling me, says, you need to go up. I need to go up. And they said, quit thinking about quantity and start thinking about quality because you are an excellent reader. And have faith in that. I said, okay. So I went to $3.99 a minute. And I was thinking, okay, we're going to go $3.99 a minute and see what's up.
Mm-hmm.
I made $265 in 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness. Good
and I'm sitting there going, I don't understand it. So like you said, just go with it, right?
Yeah. You know what? That's the best thing to do. You know? I don't charge for my readings because most of the time, they're just like one or two questions here and there. But when I'm also a psychic detective, so when I work on cold cases or even, you know, brand new cases that the police are just totally, you know, they hit a brick wall, or even missing animals. Matter of fact, I had a lady, she found me on LinkedIn, and she's all, Candy, I can't believe you were so right. And I'm thinking, okay, refresh my memory. And she goes, do you remember Peaches, my dog? And I said, yeah. And she said, everything you said about her is right on. Give me your address. This was 3 years ago, Donnie. She sent me like double the amount that I had charged her just for making me wait for so long because she lost touch with me.
Yeah, me too. It's like people call it.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah. It is kind of crazy, but, you know, it's like one of those things that I guess I got a reading the other day where they're talking about self-acceptance. And the lady told me flat out, she said, don't fall into the human thing and saying self-acceptance is the idea of being aware of your limitations. It's the idea of being aware of how powerful you are and that the only limitations that you have is limitations you put upon yourself.
Yep.
And she said, you are a very powerful psychic and you're a very powerful person, so why don't you use that all together? I said, I don't know what you're telling me. You're the psychic. You know, why? And she's like, because you're scared that people are going to perceive you. And she said, I know, I've heard you talk, and I see how passionate you are about what you do. But just imagine you being 5 times more than that. I said, I cannot see that. But I can see that. You know, I do see that all the time. It's just taking that step into that and saying, okay. So that's what you're saying. She goes, you're talking about all the success. You're talking about all this stuff coming up for you that you're trying to make happen. She goes, you don't realize it's already coming to you. It's already happening. But with your doubting yourself, maybe keeping it from you, or you know, pushing.
I agree.
You agree with that? You think I've been?
Well, you know what? I can see that in you, and it's funny because you and I have kind of that same little thing going on. I was always okay. I can read animals, no problem. I can read children, no problem. You asked me to read adults. Man, I was like a clam. I used to snap shut.
Right.
And say, I got nothing. you know. And then someone said, you know, just think of these people as children because they are someone's children. And when I started to do that, it all came in, no problem. I was totally there.
It works better than what seeing people in the underwear. It don't work for me anymore.
no, that never worked for me.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, you know, you're right, because I'm sitting here going, you should think. I was like, oh, gosh, man, I got to quit doing this because I'm telling this guy to rethink his boxers. So it didn't work for me. But and I've done that before, too. I tell people, make everything positive. So a person came up to come to me, and she says, do I look good in this shirt? I said, it looks great on you. I would never wear it, but it looks great on you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But certain things like that, because I always tell people, I said, I have a striving for being totally honest. So please don't come to me and ask me if you look fat in those jeans, because I'll have to tell you yes. Okay? So don't even put me there, because I do not believe in that crap of saying, okay, be nice to her. Well, won't she be nice to me, not ask? I know. You know, so that's not nice.
I am the same way. I used to, with me, I'm also a healer, so I got into reading people with my hands. So as I'm feeling their energy, I would just tell them. And I got to tell you, a lot of cuss words came out of my mouth because that was how those were my descriptive words.
Oh,
and some
yeah.
people were kind of, you know, let's just put it this way. They didn't appreciate my language. And I was like, you know, would you like me to sugarcoat it for you, or do you want me to tell you the truth?
Oh, yeah, because I tell people, so if you come here to hear what you want to hear, then you better go somewhere else, because if you come here, you're going to hear exactly what you need to hear, which a lot of people do not like. They say they do. They say they do. But I'm sitting here looking at a guy going, you know something? You know, I've actually used pretty colorful words, too, and I think that one lady walked in. I actually had one lady come in. She's very positive. She came in. She goes, tell me something really that would really get me. I said, your boyfriend is a big dork. And she's like, okay, I'm sitting down for reading because you got that one right. So what else are you going to tell me? So, you know, I've had a friend of mine who's been my friend for 5 years, and she's been a client. She calls me all the time. But she started out as a client when I was living in Colorado. She came in my shop. She did the exact same thing. She goes, I'm not going to tell you anything. I want you to tell me something to get my attention. I looked right here and I said, you want to slap the shit out of your mom? And she said, my mom? I said, nope, your sister. And she's like, my sister. I do want to slap you. My sister is irritating me. And she's like, I said, I got it. You want to slap your sister? And so does your mom. Her mom. And I said, I looked right in her face and said, your mom's passed over too. And she's like, she has. But she said, she goes, I can see that too. Because she's just like driving us up the bonkers. I'm like, there you go. And she looked at me and she goes, you got my attention. She sat down and she was a very nice, generous lady. Because I told her $25 and she handed me $50. And I'm just like, people, you know, you're right. It's like one of those things where you just want to sit there and go, I just want to do readings. I like to sit down there. And you're talking about this detective thing, psychic detective. How do you do that?
Well, it's really funny. I actually got into reading a whole lot of criminology books. So I hit the library. And I think I read every single one that was ever printed, well, that the library contained. And it's a small library.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to get into working on cold cases. And a friend of mine, she said, you have the knack for this. You need to try it. You really need to, you know. And so she taught me some of the techniques. And I actually started taking classes last year from a well-known psychic detective. She has her own show. She's called Pam Coronado. I'm sure a lot of people know of her.
Probably, yeah.
And so she taught me how to hone, and quite a few of the sessions, she actually took me aside here and said, you know, this is definitely your calling. She said, you can do this. She said, a lot of these people, they hop in, they think they can do it, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, you know, delving into the criminal mind is just not their cup of tea, you know. So is what I've learned how to do, and I do it with people quite often, whether you're a criminal or not, is that I head hop. I'll hop in the head, and then I see these different things, you know. And, of course, you can't see everything and everybody. But that's how I've learned how to differentiate the energies of, you know, different criminals. You understand what I'm saying? Well, of course you do.
No, the reason I asked the question, because I've actually had people come to me. I was living down this one place, and I was I had this ex-fiance, and she lived out this place, and we just kind of noticed some things about her and her ex-husband, and some girl had disappeared like 18 years ago, and I was like, her mother noticed a resemblance between that girl and her and my ex-fiance, and I was sitting there I started picking things up with it too, and I actually went out there to help her move her stuff, and I started picking up some things and started walking, and her mother asked me later on, she goes, do you think that girl's out there? Do you think she's dead? Do you think she's in one of this? Do you think she's out there? And I came to her and I said, she's dead. But I said, what's so funny about it is when I pick up on the woman, I said, she's under the ground, but she's not buried. And her mother was like, well, that's kind of stupid. I said, are there any wells out there? And she goes, wells? I said, yeah, under the ground, but not buried. I said, wells? And she said, there's five. And I went out there, and I saw, I just kept getting this thing, like something was pulling me toward this one. I never found the well, but I told some friends about that. And next thing I know, I have cops showing up at my door, and I'm sitting there going, I'm pretty calm about the whole thing, because I know I didn't have anything going on.
Yeah.
But but the guy came to the door. Well, they came there when I wasn't there. And so we came back, and they said, this big black car pulled up in your driveway and left a card. So I found the card on the windshield of our transportation. I've got a van, I think it was. And I'm sitting there going, huh, the cops. So I said, okay. So I called him up, and the guy said, well, a friend of yours had heard your story and the things that you picked up about this case. And he said, what's so interesting about it was, he said, when this girl came up missing 18 years ago, he was working with a psychic who actually picked up Brian, which actually was my ex-fiance's husband. They had already picked up on him. They were investigating him back then.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, what happened was with that situation was he came to me, I gave him all the information I had. He goes, that's pretty good. He goes, he said, the guy what we worked with 18 years ago pretty much gave us the same information. But he said, what we're having a problem right now is getting more physical evidence so they can actually go out and search the place. And he looked me right in the face and said, if we get a search warrant, are you willing to go out there and find her? I said, well, hey, yeah, let's go. I mean, I wanted to go right down there. You know,
yeah.
So it was like, yeah, let's go, just do the whole thing. And I was like probing in this guy's mind and stuff. And I'm like, he seems to be a particular person on the outside. But because I just picked up one the other day, I was doing reading for this lady. She said, this lady's been calling everybody on Blog Talk Radio. She says she hasn't, but I've heard her, like, I know at least three or four times. And she keeps asking about this certain guy coming to her door with suitcases in his hands and showing up at Valentine's Day. And I sit there and told her, I said, no, I don't see the guy showing up. I said, there's this other guy. And she goes, she said, Jason. And I said, Jason's a nice fitting name for this guy, because every time you say his name, I see a guy in a hockey mask.
Exactly.
Yeah. And she said, what do you mean? I said, this guy has a certain mannerisms, but he is a bad, I mean, I don't know how else to put it. This guy has got a bad past. And, bad temper, bad everything. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. She knew who I was talking about. She said, you know. And I said, I don't see him coming around anymore. And I said, but don't open the door. You know, just open the door for the guy. But it was just one of those things when you see those things. And when you were talking about psychic detective, I'm sitting there going, I was kind of fascinated with that whole thing. I've actually been wanting to work more with the police, because I've actually done things here and there, but never really on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's Ohio and their egotisticness of going, well, we can't do that. You know, it makes us look bad. So who cares, man?
No kidding.
Let's go find some dudes. I want to do that. This one lady was on here yesterday, and she was so trying to, and what happened? I guess she got knocked off a couple times where she couldn't get back in. So she's with us right now. So I was going to take her and let her ask her questions and stuff. So are you game to answer any questions too?
Oh, yeah, I'm game.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if you can give me more information on how to actually, I think I can actually do that. I've done that before with the psychic detective. I just didn't know, how do you do that? You just show up somewhere and say, you got some cold cases?
Well, actually, I've had people come to me.
Okay,
because,
is that the way it works?
A friend of mine, she, I'll just say she lives in the L.A. area, and she considers herself a psychic detective, but she also goes out there and physically looks, because most of the cases aren't too far from where she lives that she works on.
Gotcha.
So she does both, but she does instill the help of many of us who are psychic and do this, you know, help out. And it was really, really great practice when I first started working with her on a few mm-hmm. cases, and she was always coming back to me and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just worked on a case recently with her. This one gal was murdered, I don't remember how long ago. I think it was in October.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend said, you know, her cousin really wants to talk to you. And I said, give her my number. And I said, what time? And I actually spent about an hour talking to her. And the deceased person was coming in, and I'm like, this is what I'm getting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I felt like that she had, you know, she's the one who's really been working on the case, trying to, apparently the perps are behind bars, but
mm-hmm.
they, trying to get something to stick nowadays is just, you know, just so difficult.
Yeah, and
I was telling her that you're going to get something to stick on these guys, you know, because there was two
of them. I was just freaking out because I've actually had people call me. I had a friend of mine when that child disappeared in Florida. I can't remember the whole case, but the one that's really going on right now.
I have no idea.
There was a girl they found down there. That my friend called me. She said she at that time it was the girl down there. I can't remember Casey. I think her name is. Where she took off and she supposedly put her child and taped her up and stuff like that and supposedly got rid of her so she could go out and party one night.
Oh, jeez.
Well, so my friend calls me and she goes, and at that time they were looking for her, and she goes, do you think they're going to find her? And I said, do you know something? If they really look hard, they're going to find her. And then she called me back a week later and I said, they hadn't found her yet. And I said, well, you might as well hang it up because right now I feel like she's dead. And I said, every time you send her mention her name, I see branches and trees and I see water.
Mm-hmm.
I believe she's underwater, and she called me back later on, and, like a week later, and she said, "That is so freaky how you did that." I'm like, "Okay, what'd I do?"
Yeah.
you just don't call me up and sound you have freaked you out. Give me some references.
No kidding.
So she said when you told me about that girl down there, she said they looked in a place a week later and found her, but she said what the catcher was. The reason they didn't look the week before because it was in the woods and it was underwater. And I was sitting there going, you know, sometimes I get really kind of crazy about those things because people ask me crazy questions like that, but I'm never, you know, sometimes I can't take it to the step of calling somebody and saying, this is where she's at, because I have actually been in situations where I have been right,
uh-huh.
but still people have a tendency to interpret things a different way.
Well, and that's the whole thing is, according to this one gal, Pam Coronado, she said that she waits till they bring her in on cases, and many of them
mm-hmm.
do. It's because they don't want to seem pushy, and as it is, Donnie, they get probably thousands of calls from wannabe psychics saying, well, this is what I see, this is, you know, I know
mm-hmm.
that this is where they're at, and this and that, and how frustrating would that be?
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying. But I get frustrated because, I mean, with that Smith girl when she pushed her kids into that lake.
When I saw
her on television, the very first time I saw her on television when she was begging for whoever took her to bring her child back,
uh-huh.
I looked at a friend of mine. I looked at my friend and said, that freaking woman killed those two kids and she pushed them in the lake.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, man, calm down. You know, I know you think you're this and that and the other, but whatever. The next day, he was like, what? He said, how'd you know that? I said, you try to sit there and talk. I mean, you know, after a while, you get tired of talking until you're blue in the face. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was, remember that one case here in California, the Scott Peterson case?
Yes.
Yeah, everybody knew he did it. I mean, come on. The police, all they had to do was open their eyes.
Every time, when I was picking up with Scott Peterson, he was just a person that came off to me like just his attitude. I mean, I guess one lady kind of coined it as if that's what the devil looks like. And I do believe that there's a lot of things about that case that there's a lot of things we'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes with him, he does not want to talk about him. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So Zelda, I think I'm gonna bring this lady on here because I know she's been waiting a while.
Okay.
So. Let's bring her on. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah. Sorry for the wait. Yes,
hello.
How are you doing? Welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
We're doing great.
Tell me your name.
No, it's Zandra.
Zandra. Sorry.
Zandra. What a neat name.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've enjoyed the show. It's been interesting. I've enjoyed y'all's conversation. My question is finances. And what our finances look like for the next couple of months, and if we'll be moving anytime soon. If you see that.
Oh, so you want to move?
Yeah, our hope and dream is to move to Cancun. Our grandchildren live over there.
Cancun. Oh, how cool.
Yeah. I'm calling from Acapulco, Mexico.
Oh, I've been there. It is a wonderful, wonderful place.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, yeah. We've been here for quite some time, but the grandkids aren't here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you want to see those little grandkids. I totally understand.
Exactly.
Our grandkids.
And our finances have been down the drain for the last 5 to 6 years. So unless something changes, we won't be able to move.
Well, the first thing I get to change that you should change is stop using that word, down the drain.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was my angels are sitting there going, she needs to stop using that word because when she always attaches to certain things. It's like when people look at their computer and they go, GD, that computer. Why don't people say, God bless my computer? And then that would probably understand why it would start working again, because it's not working now. You keep damning it? Come on, I don't understand that whole thing.
Exactly.
That's what they're saying to you. Yeah, that's what they're saying to you right now. So that's like the ideal. I also get, there's like 4 grandkids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's 3 and 1 on the way.
Okay. And the one's on the way, it's a boy, right?
It better be. We're not sure. But that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're hoping for.
Okay.
Whatever it is, it'll be loved.
You sure? What if it's from another planet? Now, are you going to say that right now? I'm staffing.
It will still be loved. If you're the
it will still
nice.
Be loved. Exactly. It will
either
still
way,
be loved.
Yeah. Okay. No. I'm just making sure because you're right. I mean, I watch Star Trek. I think we all look humanoid in some way, some shape or form. So,
right.
That whole thing and say, okay, there are some people like this and the other, but with your finances, I keep getting your finances, I feel like, you said the next couple of months, I feel like they're definitely going to improve, but I also feel like with the situation of changing your thinking, that's what I keep getting, as well as the first thought that came to me when they said change that part and stop down the drain, but also asking yourself, you know, a lot of times I feel like some of us have a really hard time every day just to reaffirm what's going to happen that day, which would definitely make a difference with that.
Right.
Because I feel like there's definitely changing going on. I feel like you should use readings for information on how to improve, how to focus, and what you should be working on, which will take you away from what you've been focusing on that could happen. Okay?
Okay.
Because you've got a lot of changes coming up in the next couple of months. They're good changes, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still feel like the fourth one is going to be a boy, and I usually have about... A lot of people will sit there and let me go, well, of course, you know, you can go, it's either going to be a girl or a boy. Yeah, but I'm not asking anybody questions here. I'm saying I believe it's going to be a boy, and I've actually been almost 98% right on these things. There is a couple of times I'm thrown off, but I keep getting this one because I've actually learned how to really listen. And when we were talking about Atlantis, people were asking me, how do you know what a child is? I said, because it talks to me. And it tells me. So you guys all think that the ideal of talking and communicating starts way before you think.
Okay.
And your child definitely knows exactly what's going on, and there's a connection. And you know for a fact, by having children, there's always that telepathic communication going back between the two all the time anyway.
Okay, well, good. I'm going to go with what you're saying, that it's boy.
Well, thanks. So, Candy.
Yeah, I was going to say, with kids, Boy, that one's difficult for me, I'll say. Like when it comes to like if it's a boy or girl, you know, it so they can be tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
with me they can anyway. I do agree with him that I feel that in about 2 months, as soon as you start really thinking, like you said, you know, more positive, things are really going to turn around for you, and then you will see the light at the end of the tunnel of when you will be going.
Okay.
That's what
but
I feel.
You do see that will be moving. I just need to quit worrying about it, let it go.
Yes,
and
put it in God's hands.
And keep myself busy with other things.
Oh, yes.
They say you should be working on your studies.
Well, that I am working on my studies. I am working on that because I'm getting ready. I mean, I'm getting ready for that move because I know it's going to happen. So I'm trying to center myself and exercise and study and just get prepared. But then there's those moments when you're going, could it be? Is it going to be? You know, and I've got to stop that. You're right.
Also, focus on the moon cycles. The moon cycles, what I mean by the moon cycles, I'm talking about when the moon's going into full moon and out of full moon, that's the most powerful part of the moon cycle. Notice that, I'm just saying, at those times, like I always tell people, watch for 11s, watch for 111s, those things like that. The energy itself, around full moons, really affirm what you want to do. But they also talk about clear your space, you know, clear the clutter. Get rid of a lot of stuff that's around you. You also have a lot of stuff that you collect, almost like a pack rat kind of syndrome kind of thing going on, where they're saying, you know, there's certain things that you're still connecting yourself to that you need to get rid of and clutter, and a lot of people would really enjoy those if you just pass them on.
Okay.
They also say to actually really get the energy going, and this might sound crazy, but I've actually done this too. Take something that's so dear to you that you love to death, something really personal to you, and give it away. Now people go, okay, what do I want to do that for? Because instead of just giving away stuff that you don't need anymore, which if you have a good intentions, is a good thing to do, but a lot of people just do it with no intentions at all. So it really has never no power to it. But when you give something like that away, there's a lot of love that goes with it. And it's just the idea of someone else cherishing it just as much as you would. And it has a tendency to be passed on as many, many times. And it just sends off a tone to the universe that you're saying to the universe, I feel like the universe is so powerful and so abundant that this is going to help somebody, and it's just my way of affirming that. And I've done that before with books. I've just given books away, and a couple weeks later, an opportunity comes back that if I need that book again, it just draws it drops back in my lap too.
Right.
But it's also a way of trusting the manifestation too, the situation that I always say when you give something that like that away, there's something in a bigger a multitude coming in. It's like it's clearing a space for that, too. But it's like also clearing out old energy. Just get rid of it. But it also says you need to trust the ideal manifestations. You also need to spread your wings, like get pictures. If there's something out there, there's a place that you want to be, you want to move to. It's the idea of getting pictures of those places.
Do a vision board.
Yeah, do a vision board. Do all kinds of stuff and put it up there. But also do a vision in your head too. There was this one technique I learned where it was like you imagine a television screen in your head, and what you do is you write it out first on that TV screen. You write it out exactly what you're trying to accomplish there, and then you take it one step further. And then you imagine the TV screen like a little projector, and you see the movie of you doing just that. Okay, and the process of doing that, what you start doing is you start putting the color in there. I've told people if you can imagine the breeze going through your hair, just all kinds of things, like you're right there at that moment. Because I guarantee if you do that, you'll be there a whole lot quicker than you think.
Okay.
So my final card, it talks about take back your power, because you've relinquished your power. You're basically almost like dictating. I call it like the boomerang effect. You're just winging it out there. Whatever happens, happens. But you're still trying to accomplish a certain kind of thing. So they're just saying reaffirm it. Take your power back and really don't be scared about what you can accomplish here and what you can do.
Okay, Okay. Yeah, you're right. It all resonates with me, you know, because I believe it and I want it and I see it, and then, you know, something happens and I just kind of take, you know, I take two steps forward, but I take six backward.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if okay, what would it feel like at this moment? What would it feel like if it happened to you right this minute?
Wow. Yeah.
What would you feel like? Because if you kind of like you said, if you take a step back, you're putting your energy into what if it don't happen?
Right. Right.
And what they're saying is focus crystal clear intentions on exactly what you want to accomplish, and then focus on it without any kind of wavering, any kind, you know, faith. I would say have faith in it, but take it one step further and know.
And own it.
And own it. Because I sit here and I had this one thing, technique I used to use, where I was sitting here, I was telling myself, I went to a friend of mine, actually I did a reading for this lady, and I've done many, many readings for this lady, and I was just sitting, she goes, she called me one day, I said, I'm going to send you $100. I said, okay. And so I sat there and said, well, I really need $115. So I was sitting at the gym, I sit down on the bench, and I said, Donnie, how much is Wanda going to send you today? I said, $150. I said, how much money is she going to send you again? $150. I just kept on saying it over and over and over, and I could feel the energy just rising and rising. She called me back later that day, and she said, all I can send you is $150. I said, that's okay, Wanda. Thank you very much. So I'm just saying, you know, when you sit there and put it out there, and you don't, because I've done it with bus rides. I'll sit there and with a bus ride. I'll sit at the bus stop and say, okay, God, I'd like to have a ride home. I said, I know it might sound lazy that I don't want to sit here, but could you please send me a ride home, because I just don't want to sit here anymore. And please do it in 5 minutes, and please have a friend come by. It'd be great to see some old friends again. And a person did pull up I hadn't seen in a month and said, hey, you need a ride? And I'm sitting there going, right on time.
and it was right on time.
You know, I just did, and I got in the car, and I was kind of mumbling, wow, it's kind of amazing how that happens. And she goes, what's that? I said, it's a long story. But it's amazing, but it was just,
exactly.
But, you know, it might sound crazy when we talk about doing these things, but we do them all the time. And I also know I have a tendency to get away from the two from time to time, and I'm actually, you know, in a time where there are things around you that can influence you. But I just know these vision boards and reaffirming and that kind of stuff can cancel out things that are going on around you. And I feel like you have the same problem going on. There's some things around you and some friends that call you up and tell you their craziness. And you're just like, oh, I don't want to hear this. And then it kind of pulls you back. So what you need to do is when they say take back your power, it's the idea of understanding and telling people, I'm sorry, I really can't talk to you right now. But if you want to call back, and tell me a nice story, and it gives them a challenge, too. They actually go out there and do something nice. I'm not saying they're mean people. I'm just saying we all have friends who all they want to do is call us and tell us all the bad stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And it's kind of hard to say, I don't want to hear it. There is tactful ways of saying it. It could be also, okay, it's Jonda. Every time she calls me, man, she's always saying something. So if you feel that way, go with your intuition. That's taking your power back, too. Of saying, I don't think I want to talk to her. That's okay. We have to get back to that. That's where we got to get back to in this country, too, that you don't have to answer the phone. You don't have to answer the door. It's a choice. And I would also suggest you, when you could, I don't know if this is like on your agenda or something, but it's something about fasting. So you should take some fasting for at least 4 or 5 days. And the reason I sit there and say it to a lot of people, because I've actually been thinking about doing it myself, because it puts you back in the state to make you realize that everything is a choice. Eating, breathing, everything's a choice. You don't have to do anything you don't want to do. And the reason it is not not getting selfish. It's the idea of realizing that all the choices if you made up to this point is creating what's going on in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, I've thought about those things, and there's many times that, you know, if I'm not healthy, you know, emotionally, spiritually, or physically, I can't help anybody else. And thank God for caller ID, because I do have some people that, you know, every time they call, it's just to bitch and nag.
Yeah, they want to use you as a garbage dump. Been there.
Yeah. And then, you know, by the time I get off, I was in a good mood before I hung up, you know, picked up the phone.
Right.
And by the time I hang up the phone, I'm just down and miserable, and you know, I'm hurting for them, but there's nothing, you know, and it's a domino effect. But I've got to take care of myself if I want to take care of myself.
I'm serious. You can do that too. I mean, no, seriously, let's cut you off or nothing. But I had a friend of mine. I got caught up in that too. I was talking to my friend about my ex-fiance, and she told me, "I don't want to hear about your effing girlfriend." I'm like, "Well, wow, okay." And you don't want to hear about her. She goes, "I don't want to hear about her no more." And I'm sitting there going, "Okay, no problem." It straightened me up right then and there. I said, "Okay, fine. You're right. I have been talking about her too much." So, in a sense, you could also be a real good friend of these people and say, "Stop doing what you're doing, and maybe your life will change too." Because all you keep thinking and reaffirming is what has happened, and you keep getting more and more and more of it. So, believe me, when she said that to me, it snapped me right out of it and said, "Okay, you're right. I got to stop doing it." And she said, "Well, I'm just giving you advice that you gave me a month ago." So,
the boomerang effect.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, but everything that you guys have told me resonates. I mean, and you know, my house is clean, and you know, it's but there is some clutter. I look at my desk and I go, "God, I know I should file this, or I know I should put the books back on the bookshelf instead of, you know, I walk to the bookshelf and put them away, and when you need them, get them." And I'll do it in a little while. So,
constantly doing that thing. Because, I mean, shoot, I know for the fact that the more I put it's just one of those things. Studying could be basically living your life and doing it and doing those focus boards. Because, I mean, when you're doing your focus boards and you're focusing and meditation and you're doing all this stuff and you're living your life, you're getting closer to your goal. But when you stop and start thinking about it, you put things on hold. It's only it's only in the midst of living your life is when you realize you've gotten your manifestation.
Right.
You're always living. Yeah, because you always look back and go, "Oh, wow." There was that one guy I saw on The Secret. I love that story because the guy said he pulls his focus boards out, and he's telling his son what focus boards are. He really, he doesn't really know what's going on, but he pulled the focus board out and realized that the house that he'd put on that focus board he'd been living in for 5 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I've got the DVD, and that's true. And yeah, I do have my vision board and everything. But you know, sometimes I just walk by it. I know it's there, so I think in my mind, "I know you're there," but I don't, you know, pay attention to it.
Do you have any positive words on your vision board?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good, because that's what I did with mine. It's funny, because what Donnie was saying, I actually did a vision board. I woke up last Friday morning, I think it was last Saturday morning, and I said, "I have to do this." I immediately came to my computer, and I started printing out all these positive words and these pictures that I want to see more in my life. And I got to tell you, from that point till now, I have changed. I have completely changed my life, you know, mainly my way of thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the big thing right there. You have to change your way of thinking, you know.
Yeah.
I have a friend, like what Donnie said, that is just so, she's so caught up in her own shit, you know. And she's so, when she calls me up, it's like, I'm the same way, hon. She calls me up, and it depresses me. And I'm thinking, you know, and she goes, "Oh, my gosh, you really don't want to hear this right now." And I'm like, "No, I want to hear this. Now I'm not." And I told her, you know, because she always wants me to read this or read that. Finally, I told her, "I am not reading these people anymore because I can't do it anymore."
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a client last week who was talking, and she says that her son and his wife, all they do is tell each other and focus on the good things in each other and in their relationship. And she said they have such a positive relationship because that's all they focus on. They will not focus on the others. And she said, something ideal is saying they don't exist. They don't have any power. They give the power to the good, not bad. So it's like, and we had a show a couple weeks ago called On the Angel of Unconditional Love and Freedom. And I said, I love how they put those angels' names. Unconditional love will always give you freedom in your life because you don't worry about things anymore because you realize at that time of loving yourself and loving everybody else, the choices are always easy. And what I mean by that is, like, if you're in a relationship that you know for a fact that you're destined for somebody else, you're an unconditionally loving person. So you know that person that you're with is also destined for somebody else as well. So you unconditionally love them and let them go.
Yes.
So you both can have the life that you want. And you said, see that? See the freedom with that? But it also says
right.
in that, there's also a book by John Randolph Price called The Angels Within Us. And it says in that one chapter, it says you have a choice right then and there. You can either focus what's going on, or you can focus on the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So which one? So it's your choice. So whatever happens,
right.
and what I was talking about earlier about sacrifice, I don't believe in sacrifice. I believe we make a choice and we go down a path. In the process of going down that path, we give up the other path and the things
right.
that go with it in favor of what's good for us. What is the best interest for us? So if you are a person who's single and decides to be, he wants to be in a relationship, there are certain things you're going to have to let go of,
mm-hmm.
not sacrifice. You're letting this go for your good, for your own, what's for everybody's best good.
Yeah. Right.
And there's another thing too. If you want to try this when you do your visualizations that I put on everything, it opens the door even wider. It goes something like this. It said, I need to read that. I always have a tendency to say it wrong, and I want to say it right. And I say it all
okay.
the time, which is kind of weird, right? But sometimes I have a little problems with how it starts out. So here it is. I sit there and visualize and focus and get the feeling exactly what's going on and the whole thing. And then I'll say, this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. So what you're saying is, I want this, but if there's something else better for me, I'm open to that too as well. So you're opening the door for both.
Right, right. You don't close any doors. Yeah, I read something that said as a positive confirmation, you know, when you're down, it's, I want to be more comfortable than I am right now.
Mine's like this. I'm tired of just getting by. I want the total freedom of lavish abundance.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
But it's one of those things of teaching people that, too. If you sit there and focus, every week, I got to make this many hours to make this amount of money. And you can't understand why you can't get ahead, because you're not focusing on getting ahead. You're focusing on surviving, and that's all you're getting. So therefore, you
right.
knock it up, you know, take it up an octave. What do you want? Do you want to keep doing this? You keep saying you don't, but your actions keep dictating that. And I said, you know something, universe, whatever you're thinking, the universe just gives you. Whatever you're focused on, the universe just gives you. They can't distinguish between good or bad. They just say, okay, this person's thinking on this, and your wish is my command, poof, there it is. And you're like,
right.
my girlfriend's back. Oh, my God. No, you know. But I'm, you know, but it's one of those things of realization.
Right.
We had this lady on the show last week, I think it was, Dr. Wendy Dearborn. She has a show here, too. Living Your Life. I wish I could remember that. Sorry, but... Remember the name. She had a friend of hers who was a realtor, and I think it was in California. She was she got raped and beat up and left for dead in the house. And what happened was, she was sitting there talking to her, and the lady said she had such great respect for this lady because she owned the whole thing. She said it was her fault that it even happened. And telling people, we're not condoning what the guy did. What we're saying is, this woman flat out said out of her own mouth, she said if she would have listened to her guidance, it would have never
right.
happened. She would never have been there. But she said that she let money basically make her decision for that. She needed, you know, she needed some extra, she was going to try to sell this house. So she let that kind of dictate her thinking. So she went down there, and this guy talked her into showing her this house. And the process of going there, she said her guides were talking to her, and angels were sitting there going, don't go, don't go. Even when she was walking up the sidewalk, they told her to turn around and go home. And she did not listen. But what's so good about it was, the lady even admitted she took 100% responsibility for her actions. So it was one of those things. I remember we talked about that too. I could just hear everybody across the wavelengths going, they're just gasping. What? It was her fault. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, it's like she said, the first thing of getting strong with your life is to never take the position of a victim. To realize that every decision that I make in my life, I made it. And that's why I was there. And actually, it's so good about the whole thing. It's good to give advice to people that way, too, when you're dealing with your kids. Because all your kids are going out there going, well, this happened because Joey did this.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has intuition. Everybody has angels. So try to go that route with them, like with your children or coming up, your grandchildren, when they start making weird decisions. Ask them what
right.
their guidance was telling them.
Right, right.
Why'd you get in the car with people drinking and that kind of stuff? Man, why'd you do it for? did a little voice say, don't do it? And when you start acknowledging that things exist, they'll start thinking and they'll start focusing on it. They'll also start talking about it because you just acknowledged something they wasn't too sure about that they might be embarrassed about.
Yeah, or they didn't understand. And that's, you know, that's another thing that I've got in my heart, that I want to be there to teach my grandkids those things that, you know, listen to your intuition, you know, pay attention, things grandma doesn't do, that knows better.
I'm just saying, you know. Big example.
Right. Why,
yeah,
thank you.
I totally agree. I wish my son would have listened before New Year's Eve. He's only 14, and he decided to go drinking with his buddies. And so I'm like, oh, how do you feel? Not so good. I'm like, good. You gonna do it again? No. And I said, yeah. Right now you say no, but
yeah.
Oh, you're just starting, Candy. You're just getting started.
I've been there, done that.
Now with my kid, you know, since my kids have children, I'm, you know, they'll call me up and say, you know, Mom, da-da-da-da-da about the kids, and I'll just laugh, and I said, karma, baby, karma.
Yes! My grandmother used to tell me, and she, because she raised me, actually, from the time I was 12, and, mm-hmm. and she told me, you're going to have a little girl just like you, and I used to laugh it off. That's just a saying that all people, you know, moms, grandmas always tell you. Well, you know what? If she wasn't right. Actually, I have a son just like me. Not a little girl, a son.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I can identify with that one, too, because I have a daughter who's just like me. So.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool for a while there, but lately it's been, you know, I always tell, I said, for some reason, when they hit their 20s, they actually seem to ask more for more money than they have when they were smaller.
Lovely.
I don't know why.
Well, they need more things, you know. Everything costs more.
Good job.
It's really funny. Last Sunday, I was talking to my daughter, and I said, have you fixed the kids' breakfast? She goes, no, they woke me up, and they know Sundays are the only time I get to sleep in. And Kiata came in and said, Mom, I'm hungry. You know, it was 9:30 in the morning then. And she said, and I was so mad. I said, well, too bad. You and your brother are not eating at all today because you woke me up and you know better. And she goes, but that's not fair. And I started laughing because I had told my daughters that when they were little, and they'd say the same thing. And I said, and, you know, they just thought I was awful, an awful mother. And her and I, we just started laughing together. And she goes, I just realized what I did. I said, well, now you understand. It wasn't that I didn't want to feed you. It was just like, I mean, she goes, Mom, they're old enough. They can get themselves a bowl of cereal and let me sleep at least till 10. You know, at 10 o'clock, I'll make them some eggs and bacon, you know, but start off with a bowl of cereal. So, you know, it's karma. That's why I'm saying, Candy, it's karma. You know.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't think I was that horrible of a kid.
I used to call
my mother up when my kids were teenagers, and I go, Mom, do you forgive me for being such a brat when I was a kid? And she goes, yes, honey. And I said, well, please tell God, you know, tell him that you forgive me so he'll forgive me too.
No, I never had that. I called my mom and said, oh, my God, Mom, I just turned into you. I need a
Scary, huh?
Yeah, scary. So do you only have one child, Candy?
Me? Well, I have a son and a daughter. And the really interesting thing is when I was 12, my mother passed away from leukemia, and that's how I wound up with my grandmother. Uh-huh. And in 1999, I gave birth to my mother.
No.
Wow.
So, and many people have said that she came back to help me tie up a few loose ends and
Don't you love that?
Yeah, and in the early years, it was tough. I mean, she was like this mm-hmm. angel baby, and like she was when my grandmother had her. Slept through the night when she came home from the hospital, and then at 2, I don't know what possessed her, but something jumped in, and she has a mind of her own, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's very independent, but I think she's doing it right this time around.
That's good.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great. That's great.
Well,
guys, thank you so much. It all resonates. I know good things are coming. I just got to quit worrying about it and just, you know,
mm-hmm.
keep myself busy.
Yes,
keep myself
all right.
busy.
Definitely.
There you go. Thank you for calling, too, and you have a great night. And if you want to take advantage of that $10 special for the 14th, which I guess is Monday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so jump in there and get that. But I'd be happy to work with you.
Okay, I will do that. I'll do that. I'll go to your page and do that. Thank you, and God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's see. We actually got a lot of people on the queue. Just like,
oh, wow.
She came on. Next thing you know, it's like... There's like 6 people here, so
yeah,
and more are popping. I presume I don't know if you've ever done that before. You can feel people coming.
I could feel them all. Just hey, me. I want. You are very good, Donnie.
Thank you.
Yeah, you really dive in.
Well, thank you.
I just feel like I'm kind of, you know, tonight. well, it's what the whole thing is. Is that my publisher? I have to tell you this before you bring anyone else on.
Okay.
They told me. They said I really want this book, you know, into me ASAP. So this whole week I have been doing nothing but revising it. So I think that's where my brain is. My brain is still in that vampire book.
Right.
It's still in my energy. So
every time when someone thinks about a vampire book and they talk about. A love story. I keep thinking about my ex-wife. But I don't know why. It's just...
I almost spit my water all over my computer.
I was sitting there going, you know, whoa. They have that old joke. Remember that old joke out there? Why don't vampires bite lawyers? Common courtesy. They're all bloodsuckers. So...
yes. Birds of a feather, right?
Right. Area code 404. You on the air? Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Tamika.
Okay, well, sorry?
Oh, my name is Tamika.
Oh, Tamika? Hi, Tamika, how are you?
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, how are you guys today? I'm good.
Very well.
Yeah, we're good. You're 404. What is that, 404? Is that Detroit?
That's Atlanta.
Okay,
oh, okay,
sorry. I was on the wrong part of the country on that one. Atlanta, okay.
Okay.
I'm cold, man. I'm thinking cold places, I guess. But I hear it's been kind of cold
right
in Georgia, too, huh?
It's been chilly, yeah. I'm from Jersey, so, you know, I'm used to it. But it hasn't been that cold.
Okay. So do you have a couple questions for us?
Yes, I want to know what's going on with my financial situation. When is it going to improve, shall I say?
You know, so when I pick up on you, I pick up a lot of things where you're having some... I keep getting the word self-doubt. You're having some things about yourself, and you're trying to find some things on the outside to correct things. And I feel like you should be going inwards. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Don't look to others for confirmation. Look within.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you have all the answers yourself.
Yeah. Because I always say when you look inwards, the answers come very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You might not like them, but they come very quickly. And right now I have a girlfriend she's pretty, she vents pretty well when she comes to these realizations, but that's the whole thing, you know. She says I'm really hard on her, but
uh-huh.
she also realizes that if you ask me questions and you want the truth, I just don't give them to my clients. I give them to, I talk to my friends the same way. I talk to my girlfriend the same way. And it's like, people think I'm harsh, but the truth is the truth. And I do try to be tactful as I can with people when I talk to them. But for some reason, I have to come across the way I come across. Why? Because they seem to take notice of that. They might not like me, but like I always tell everybody else, you might not like what I say, but one thing you will never be with me is in the dark. But you also have to, you have to do the same thing with yourself as well. Now, that's why I fall short. But
you're brutally honest.
Brutally honest. And I, in Colorado, it was kind of crazy. I had a friend of mine who said, telling the truth is rude. And I would just look at her and say, okay, well, you better sit back because I'm fixing to be rude again. Okay? Because if that's how you take it, I don't, you know, because I told a friend of mine, I said, look in the Bible. It says, thou shalt not lie. And on the side there, just, there's no column on the side. It says, these are the one things you can lie about. No, it doesn't say that. It's, and I think the reason is, and I've always looked at the Bible as a very spiritual context, not a materialistic one. And if you see how people really interpret it, they interpret it materialistically.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not steal, you know, my car, that kind of stuff. I look at it differently. Thou shalt not steal. So quit hanging on that man because you're scared you'll never find one, and quit stealing time from him and go out and get yours. That's the whole point. And it's the same thing with you. You know, I'm not saying, it's like you're lying to yourself in some ways because you don't realize how a great person you are. You know, you have a tendency to you're kind of like dictating and say, okay, I'm a bad person because that relationship didn't work out, or I didn't keep that job, or I didn't do this. And, you know, put whatever you want in there, but that's the point. You keep blaming yourself. And but what you should do is you say, okay, fine. Maybe I did something I shouldn't have done and I lost that job. But you should go the other way and say, okay, maybe it's just telling me I'm not supposed to be there. I don't want to be there. And go and keep moving forward and tell yourself that you're a great person and make good choices for yourself. Because I always said the same about bad luck, good luck. There is no such thing as good luck, bad luck. It's either good decision, bad decision.
Right.
So I'm just saying, what's your situation? I'm just saying, you are a fantastic person, but your life's not going to change until you realize that and understand what you do deserve. You came to this planet with an inheritance that already given to you. It's just the idea you have to accept that and say, this is what I'm destined for. This is everything. God didn't say, well, okay, you go down there and you go and settle for this and you live in poverty and you just have your pride will just dictate everything that happens to you. He never said that. He said, go live, be abundant and prosperous.
Right.
And go read the Bible again, where it says Jesus was not poor. I don't know who came up with this concept. Jesus was self-employed. And if you look at the Bible, it's like when you stay on your path of what you know you're supposed to do, everything in Jesus' life was taken care of. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Right.
He never wanted anything. He knew what he had to do. That's the whole point, service. And when you put yourself in a situation of service, you are a person who's very gifted. It's like sometimes you know exactly what people need. And you need to trust that and put yourself in a situation or a position or a career or a business where you can just do that. You're chasing chasing after money. Money is not your foundation, and you've made money your foundation. So when there's no money, you feel lost because that was your foundation. Now it's gone. So what you need to do is work on yourself and your foundation and who you are.
Because I feel like that you have just lost all belief in who you are, you know, as a human. It's almost like you look in the mirror every day and say, my God, who the hell are you? You know, and you really need to do a lot of soul searching. I feel that this is the time to do it.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that.
Well, first of all, take that word out of your vocabulary, trying, because all you're doing is
you are doing.
Yeah, because you sit there and say, when you say I try, you're telling yourself right then and there, okay, I'm going to try, but I know I'm going to fail. What you need to do is either do it or don't do it. But once you put yourself into the whole thing, you start doing things and really focusing on yourself, you're going to enjoy the whole process and want to do more. But you got to start. And when you sit there and say, I'm trying, you're sitting there, it's sometimes it's hard to change the way we think, okay?
Yeah.
And look at things in a different way and go, okay, because you're still thinking that the job is going to save you. You think money's going to save you. If you don't get up in the mornings and go to work, the only person that kept that from happening was you. That's what we're saying here. We can see you for who you really are. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's just that you have to realize that and say, okay, I am a great person. You were a great person when you got here. You're still a great person. So what? You've done some bad things. We all make bad decisions. And when you get past those things and realize we don't want to do those things again, but we grow and we learn more things about ourselves. So therefore, we really get strong and we move on. My ex-fiance has to do that. I said, well, you need to face that. And she's like, well, you're stronger than I am. I said, how do you think I got that strong? Instead of letting that fear knock me down, I knocked it back down. Let it motivate you. you are very talented, and you have a lot of things that you know you can do. It's like you have a little bit of doubt, you can actually make a living at them.
Okay.
And I said you're gifted. I also see something with painting, and you are very talented with your hands.
Painting?
Uh-huh.
I'm okay. I write poetry.
That's still flowish.
Right, okay.
Because what you're doing is you're actually when you, me personally, when you write a story or write a poem, people see a picture.
Yep. Right.
Okay. Story. So you're flowing. You're actually painting in some way. But you should also explore the ideal of being very artistic, not just poetry. But I think you could also write some really good short stories, and I think you should also consider doing those in publishing.
I've thought about that. I swear I have.
Okay, I believe you. I believe you. Well, what you need to do is quit, you know, you don't have to convince me. Convince yourself and say, I can do this. Just start doing it. I mean, I started writing my book. I got 3 pages done. That was like last year. But, you know, it's one of those things of there's been a lot of things that happened too. So don't get me wrong. There's other things I've been doing too in the process. But I just feel like I got to go back to write the book too. I have a little bit of...
Us too.
Yeah, something about the book and that kind of stuff. I feel like I have a great ideal, and now I've actually got more ideals. I've got all these things that I want to do. But I mean, keep your mind open and just start flowing through with everything you do. But I'm still saying the painting thing. You should think about that too. If anything, it could be a really good outlet for you.
Okay.
The reason I don't paint is because I'm too much perfectionist, and it becomes too much of a headache. But
I agree. It has to be perfect. If it's not, it's getting crumpled up and again.
You know, and it's one of those things. You know, you got to think about that too. I mean, sometimes, and I do. It's like telling everybody else too. Like sometimes in life, you have this dead-bent on thing of what you're going to do with your life. I always say, go with the flow and see where it takes you. And if you would have asked me, God, when I was in high school, if I'd be doing this kind of work, I couldn't stand to talk in front of 2 people.
Right.
Oh, I was the same way.
I would sweat my freak. I was sweating and I was like
turn red.
Forward. Yeah, turning red and stuff. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, before I even got out of high school, I was doing stand up and doing all kinds of stuff. What I did was, I decided to not let. It was like what was keeping me down, and it was just I started noticing the fear. Like I had a very strong fear that people were watching me, and I started noticing that every time I thought someone was watching me, I would hide in a truck. I would hide in the bed of a truck and never look up because I thought someone was looking at me. One time I actually looked and I found out that what I thought was looking at me was a tree post. From that point on, I started realizing that I was letting my imagination in a negative way keep me from the things I really wanted to do. So with your situation, it's the same thing in some ways of certain fears that you're letting yourself, keeping yourself from going there.
Right.
So go through it. So just follow through with it, and I just feel like you're going to have a lot of more successes than you think. With the writing and publishing, for some reason, I get a chance you might actually be turned down twice, but I don't see any more. I feel like once you get published, they're going to be asking for more. I really do.
Yeah, and I have a feeling it will actually flow into children's books.
Mm-hmm.
Children.
Yeah, you have that knack right there.
Okay.
Think
positive, because the guy who wrote Charlie Brown, with the Peanuts and stuff, he didn't do that until he was well in his 50s.
Oh, okay.
And became very successful. So, you know, Red Skelton was a comedian his whole life, and he'd always been painting his face as a clown. Do you know that after he retired, he started painting, and now his paintings go for, I think, between $40,000 and $140,000 a painting?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, just because you've not done it doesn't mean you can't. And I definitely see something there, too. So, you know, go do it. Go do it.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I will. Well, you know, I'm still young, and hopefully, you know, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm comfortable. So,
yeah.
Thank you for, you know, just having a conversation with me and let me know.
Oh, you're welcome. No, it's no problem at all. You're welcome.
Both of you.
Yeah, I was just going to say you should get a private reading with me before the 14th. Take advantage of that $10 reading.
I will. I'll do
that. Definitely. I think she should, too.
Yeah, so just jump in there, and I'll definitely be happy to work with you. But the 14th is Monday, so just get in there as quick as possible.
Yeah, everybody needs to hop on that.
Yeah, because I got a funny feeling I'm going to be busy all 14th. So,
can't beat $10.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Okay.
I got to watch this switchboard because every once in a while I'll click on something and take out two people at the same time.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sitting there going, we don't want to do that.
No. You do not want to do that.
I had one lady, I was sitting there and I told her we'd be right with her, and I accidentally clicked on, because one of my guests was leaving. I clicked on that one and the thing jumped up, and I clicked on, I was like, oh, please call back. So that was kind of a crazy thing.
Oh, boy.
Here you go.
You have another
one?
All
right. Okay, here we go. Area code 11111. I like that 11111. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Sherilyn.
Sherilyn?
Yes.
That's a unique name. I don't think I've ever heard that name before.
Mm-mm, I haven't either.
I talked to you yesterday.
Oh, that's right. You said, wasn't it Sherry?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my nickname.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I called you about, I was talking about your, okay. So.
I'm calling about something different today.
Okay.
It's more about work and if I'm ever going to be able to go back.
Okay, the first thing that came to me very quickly is, why do you want to go back?
Because it's a job.
Well, my angel's saying that it's not the only one in the world, and they feel like that you are so above that and so talented. Okay. And it's like, if she could just see how she really, when she's in the right position, how she really shines and how much she's an asset.
Yeah.
And it feels like going back, you would be, seriously, not to belittle your decision to do what you're going to do, but I'm saying, I did this with this show. I decided for some reason to go backwards, and I'm at Premium Plus. I went back to Premium. Now, people think that's, just taking that one decision. When I did that, I heard the brakes screech, and my angels, I had a channeling with a friend of mine, Barbara Reynolds. And she got a great show, too, and you should definitely check her out. She's on here on Thursdays. And I was channeling with her, and my angels told me that was the wrong decision. They said, you're trying to advance your career. You're trying to go further. You're trying to touch more people. Going backwards is not going to accomplish that. And just that one decision, because that's the way I felt, and I didn't honor my feelings. I was thinking, I was trying to save a dollar, okay? Trying to save a dollar. Well, but more than a dollar, but I'm just saying I was trying to save some money. And what they're saying to me was, look at the situation that when you're in the midst of paying bills and all this kind of stuff comes on, doesn't everything get paid anyway? So why are you worried about it? And it was just a habit. Okay? So with a certain situation you're through, that's the biggest thing I got was, you don't want to take any steps backwards because you're going forward. And there's a lot of things that are coming into your midst that's going to change your thinking and change how you feel to work. It's going to be easier to let go of that.
Yeah, I'm off of work because I was robbed while at work on January 29th. So I'm on stress leave, and I'm wrestling with the fact, do I want to go back or should I go back into my security work? Because I was doing security for a couple of years, and I really did enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if I should go back to that.
I get the impression that going back into security, yes, the place that you was doing that, I get no.
Well, I'm in a different town, different area, so different security companies, but I'm not really sure if I want to go back into security or if I should go into something else. My dad seems to think that I'd be really good at medical office assistant, and I'm like,
You need to do what your heart tells you to do, and if you're like, I don't want to do that, don't do it, because you're going to be so disappointed and unhappy.
Heck yeah. If you make good money, you won't be happy. I mean, that's what we started talking about before, about focusing out, you know. You should definitely get I actually have the audio version of it, but it's called Excuses Be Gone by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Yeah, thank you. he's got the Excuses Be Gone book. He's also got another one where he talks about a lot of these things where we're constantly making excuses for ourselves. When he says that's all they are, is every time you keep yourself from doing that, you're making excuses.
Yes.
It's like a fear. You can trace it back to a fear to make that excuse why you're going to do that. And he says every time you let go of one of those fears, you get closer to what you're trying to obtain. And he was sitting there talking about the Tao. He talks about the Tao a lot.
Yes.
And the Tao was actually something that was written 2,000 years before Christ, and which was almost the same time as the teachings of focusing on self and that kind of thing. And even Jesus had said said in some texts too that the kingdom of God is within you, which I've always seen it as the positive. And it's also the ideal, even in the Bible when it talks about focusing on the kingdom of God, I always see it as a positive. If you focus on the positive, positive things, well, is the only thing you're going to get. But Dr. Wayne Dreyer also said that you should get a little piece of paper and put on it, today, affirm to yourself every day, I'm going to be happy. No matter what, no matter who, I'm going to be happy today. So if there's someone comes in your midst and crosses your path who's not happy, then you make a decision to distance yourself from that person.
Yes,
I always tell people, they're going, what are you doing? I'm like, okay, this is the way it works. I'm on a mission to be happy. You're not. So therefore, if you don't choose to be happy too, which I'm saying you can do what you want to do. I'm just saying if you're going to make a choice not to be happy, then you can't be a part of this because that goes against the promise I've made to myself.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of us do that. We have a tendency to go and listen to everybody else instead of listening to what we have affirmed for ourselves. So
yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, so
my biggest problem is trying to please other people and worry about myself later. And my sensei, because I've been in martial arts off and on, was told me to write on a piece of paper thoughts become things, and then literally write down what I want to happen. And I am to keep that with me and read it every day.
Yeah, what a man thinks about.
And I did it for a little bit.
Yeah. You did it for a little bit, not a long time.
Yeah,
every day.
I still have a piece of paper, believe it or not.
Well, there's a reason why you still have that piece of paper, because it's like, look, I'm thinking, if you've been negative for 10 years, you should at least give positive at least 5, you know? Not 5 minutes, but 5 years, you know? Because I guarantee you, I did this one time, and it was a technique when we were talking about the vision board earlier. What I did was, when I was watching The Secret, and a lot of people denounce The Secret and kind of stuff, but I still think it has a lot of good stuff in it. A lot of good learning, a lot of tools, if you know how to use them. And I always tell people, we can listen to these things, we can denounce anything we want to. But the point is, these are just information for us to tap into things that we already have within ourselves anyway. And when I saw the techniques in these books and stuff like that, in these movies, something else kicks in that I've already been doing. It just helps me to embrace it more and to really focus on being more successful at it. So I sit there and focus on the whole thing myself. And the secret, Jack Canfield said that his mentor taught him that you pick one thing that you really want, that if it does happen, it will definitely change your thinking, that you will start thinking more in a positive way. So pick that one thing. So I did. Mine was a cell phone. I picked this cell phone. It was a blue razor. And I sit there and looked at the situation and said, okay, he says I can have anything I want to, no matter what the world says. And I said, okay, no problem. Okay, because I've been doing this to myself, and it's a way of proving myself. So I went there, I got my focus board, and my angels, and as I always say, listen to your guidance on how to do these things too, because there's many, many ways to do a focus board, but because there's many, many people. So what I did with mine was I listened to my angels, and they said, I always do things in threes. So I got three pictures of this blue Razer phone, and then they sit there, and I put the thing on my focus board, but it also says, now you got to do the physical part. So I went to the computer, went to a website, and applied for this blue Razer phone. Now, the first time, I was turned down. And so I sit there and said to myself, I said, okay, I'll get real specific about what I want. I want that blue Razer phone. I want it for free. I don't want to pay nothing for it until the first bill comes. And so I got really determined, walked in there, looked at the picture on my focus board and said, if I'm meant to have this, I will have it before the end of this week.
Mm-hmm.
Two hours later, the same website that I went to get that phone had emailed me and told me my order had been processed and it should be there in 2 days. And,
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so what happened with the situation, too, was I looked at my credit card statement and everything. I never paid a dime until the first bill came.
Wow, that's incredible.
And if you would have saw seriously, because before I even got that determined, I had applied for cell phones. I went to AT&T, and they said I needed $1,000. I needed a $1,000 deposit before I could even consider getting a phone. And then later on, I did that. I said, I know what happened in the past, but I'm going to say forget that because that's done, that's gone. And I went and did that whole thing. And I will say one thing, too, about the whole process. I was thinking the same thing. And some little thing, there's little thoughts that come in your mind from time to time that try to knock you down. Because as I was going, because what happened was I was actually doing some traveling with a friend of mine. And we were doing some craft shows and stuff like that, doing readings and stuff. And she was selling paintings. So I never got there. I had to send to my mom's house. And it was there in 2 days. But as I was traveling, I was still thinking in my mind, you know, probably a computer glitch or something, right? But I would snap back and say, nope, it's going to be there when I get there. So I went, even as I was walking in my mom's house, as I walked through that door, I still was thinking, a little thought popped in my head and said, it might not be there. And I said, nope, it's right there on the table. I know it's going to be on the table. And sure enough, there it was. It was an interesting thing. But see, that was my big thing. When I did that, it definitely changed my thinking about how things work. Now, have I gotten knocked off the path a couple of times since then? Of course. But I know those techniques, and I know every time I go back to it, things happen quicker.
Yeah, and I was kind of curious because, like, before this robbery, before it happened, I was looking into security to go back into it because I did enjoy it. It's long hours, and you are by yourself, but to me, the threat is a lot less because not everyone's going to walk into an abandoned site with a knife trying to rob you for money. You know, if anything, I'm chasing people out from sleeping in a building. And I was okay with that, and I liked it because it does kind of tie into what I like to do. I do like to help people. And security kind of gives me that feel of, you know, I'm doing something to help somebody because I'm watching after their stuff. I'm protecting what they have put money into and that they've invested into, and I like to do this, and I really did enjoy it.
Well, you just answered your question.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure because, like, there's so many rules, and I was like, can I do it again? Should I do it? Because, you know, there's a lot of this and a lot of that, and I was like, ugh.
Well, change that. And there was one real quick story. There's a lady that I know that I read about that she really believes in the law of attraction and everything that goes with it. And she sat down one day and she said, I like being a manager. I just don't like working for the company I work for. And there's some things she didn't like about it. So what she did was she sat down at her desk and she wrote this out in very, very, very fine detail of exactly what kind of management job that she would like to have. She was a very detailed woman, too, because she went down to the point where the people she wanted to work with, the environment she wanted to work in, what kind of company she wanted to work for, even down to the neighborhood she wanted to live in. Okay, and what I thought was so amazing about the story was, 2 weeks later, she got two job proposals from two companies, and the positions were exactly what she described, what she'd written out. What the catcher was, she never applied for those jobs, but somehow
that is kind of wow.
Yeah, but see, well, the point is, when we always talk about this too, the law of attraction works all the time, 24/7. But the one thing you need to do is you need to put things out there. So that, because every time we manifest something, until we get to the point where we was in Atlantis, where we go, poof, it's in our hands, we still have to, it comes through people, situations and people. And so therefore, that's why I always tell people, meditation is great. I used to do this one meditation where it's one of those things of rooting yourself in the ground. And how I used to do mine was I would go hug a tree and imagine myself being rooted into the tree, rooted into the ground, and then touching every root in the world, which connects me to the whole world. To the point where I would connect and focus on energy, and the next thing you know, the world would be engulfed in this gold energy, which is a very positive energy. And once you connect with everybody, then you start seeing connections of opportunities coming to you. Okay?
Yeah.
And try
and the other thing that I'm wondering, I have one other thing that I'm wondering, where I'm living, I'm not happy. I'm wondering if I can get back to where I used to live. Because I had to move, and so I'm away from my friends, and I'm wondering, am I going to be able to move back to where I was living last year?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of those things you need to sit there and do this. You need to focus on focusing on the place you want to live, if that's where you want to live at, but don't focus on going back. Because what you're doing is you're pulling yourself back into the past. You're not focusing on the now. So, because I did the same thing when I was thinking about going to Colorado, because I've lived there before, and I want to go back to Colorado. What seemed like every time I would do that, it was like a wall was being put there. Until I started saying, I want to go to Colorado to live, because that's where I feel like I should be. But I can still be successful anywhere I want. Huh?
Yeah, what I've been saying is, I want to go back to see all my friends. Because that is where my friends are. That is where a majority of my family is. And
well,
I'm like,
I
want to be able to go back to that. Because I feel comfortable in that area. Because I don't feel so alone. Up here, I don't know anybody. I don't have friends. And it's really stressful for me to be away from that. And I've been trying to find ways to get back into that area. Because, like, there is things that I can do there.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I'm going back, kind of stalls things out. I'm just saying, I would just kind of focus and say, I usually have to put things in the past tense. So I said, thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to live. Where, and then you put in the blank, where, so I can be with my friends. Because you don't want to go back there, because what you're trying to do is you're focusing on a picture in your mind of what it used to be like. So you're trying to recreate that. You can't do that. That's already done. It's over. What you want to do is you want to go and live in this certain apartment complex so you can be with your friends. But you can make friends anywhere. I just feel like you're a very nice person. You just get out there and socialize. You can make friends right where you're at. But I'm just saying, if that's what you are trying to focus on, just don't focus on the back part, going back there. Focus on going there. Almost like you've never been there before, because you know there's great people that live there. And try it that way.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering, because I'm like, am I able to return?
I'm just saying, go with the flow. Go out and socialize. Enjoy where you're at. Because the one thing I had to learn the hardest was, if I sit there and say, I can't be successful until I go back to Colorado, I'm putting a block on it. Because I'm saying I can't be successful until I get there. So my lesson, I guess you would say, for being here is to learn that I can be successful anywhere I go. So therefore, I can go anywhere I want to go. So it gives me more freedom to open up the opportunities that can come to me. Because the first time I went to Colorado was another opportunity that came to me that I didn't pay a dime. And I still got to Colorado. So you open the door, let things happen. You'd be amazed what can happen, because I've had so many things that dropped in my lap that my ex-girlfriend used to sit there and say, I've never seen a person who has miracles every day in their lives until I met you. And I was just living, I was like, oh, she was great for that too. She would say, we can't do this. I'm sitting there going, yeah, we can, and this is how we do it. So she would like motivate me right, going right into mode. Okay, it's like, you want to live in a trailer or a house? I said, kind of a mean word. I said, F the house. And it's built, you know, no, I said, the trailer. I never want to live in a trailer ever again. And I said, I want to live in a house. And I said, I've always seen myself in a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. So I said, and she's like, oh, really? How can we afford that? And I said, if I can manifest it, trust me, I'll get the money. So I started focusing, and I write in my journal all the time, thank you, God, for the $25,000 for the $2,500 blessing I had. That's what it was, $2,500 blessing. And for some reason, she'd been trying to get her ex-husband for child support, and she couldn't figure out how come he'd getting away with it every year when he'd file his taxes. They wouldn't take his taxes, being so behind on his child support as he was. Well, that year, I started focusing on $2,500. And that year, they took his income taxes. And our first payment we got was $2,560.
Nice.
So she was sitting there going, really? I said, it's not over yet. So when we moved to Florida, I was sitting there talking to her about, I want to live in a house. And she goes, well, I don't know. So we were driving around trying to find a haunted house that we were very, very curious about, because this house, the lady had been murdered in this house. She was actually giving decorating tips to the person who was living there now. So I thought that was very fascinating. I want to go see that and talk to that lady. And it was kind of funny because we went down that road, and that's exactly where we found the house we moved into. I told her 2 days before that, I said, we could just find somebody because I had just started my business there. And in St. Petersburg, it's a little bit different with psychics. You have to get a license. It's like a little driver's license. It costs $45, but you have to get a background check and everything. So you just can't go and set up shop. And I was trying to get around it by working at home. I didn't have a shop. I had an office at my house. But and I knew I could, if I would have stayed there long enough, I knew I could have figured some way around it. I could have manifested something if it was changing the law. But we found this house, and then I told her, you know, all we need to do is find somebody. Since you'd only been working your job for 2 days, I've just started my business. We just need to find somebody that will just give us a house, take our money, and be done with it. And 2 days later, we found a guy who said, I just want you to fill out this application after this house, and then come over and look at the house. The application is just information. In case something happens, we can get a hold of you. We went to look at the house. 2 days later, we moved into it. So, you know, we didn't have jobs. We had money. We didn't have any jobs. And everybody will tell you, in this day of age, if you don't have references and that kind of stuff, you don't get houses. And I'll tell you, yeah, right. It's happened too many times. Okay, so mm-hmm. You need to do what you got to do, okay? And go where you got to go. Love where you want to go. I'm just saying, I feel like you will be back in that neighborhood, and you'll be living there. But I don't see you living in a house for you. And I still see some freedom for you being out, hanging out with your friends and that too. For some reason, I feel like an apartment complex could be like restrictions on something, and I see you in a house, and I see things changing that way. Candy?
That's good, because, yes, I think that's good. I have two cats.
You have two cats?
Yeah. Well, that would be the restriction of the apartment. Most of them either do not allow animals, or there's a pet deposit. You know, it's always a nightmare to get around that. I agree with Donnie. You'll be going right back into what you like, and yeah, I can see you living not too far from where your mom lives.
Oh, I'm actually not too far from her right now because we're both in the same town.
Mhm. Yeah, but I see you closer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I'm actually pretty close. She's 10 minutes away from me right now.
Mhm.
Well.
And I actually came up here because of we were living together, and what happened was we found out that we had to move, and I only had like 13 days, and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to find a place in 13 days. So I came up here, and I've been trying to return to where I was before.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation with your thinking, it's just the idea of going back. Every time I hear that word, going back, it's like I see the focus of the pictures that you're focusing on, the visualizations, and you're seeing things in the past. And I'm just saying, change those pictures and imagine yourself being with your friends in new scenarios, new situations, in a new house. I swear, it would definitely make a difference. I promise you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
No, you're welcome. Thank you, and you have a great night.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. So you're okay, Candy?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I'm just making sure you're okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm thoroughly enjoying listening to your readings. You're very precise, you know, and then you will integrate what they're going through with what you have already been through. I feel the same way. I'll do the same. I'll throw in a story or something that relates to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it always helps them to see, you know, which direction they really should be pointing their focus in.
Oh, heck yeah. That's one lady who came to me and said she came to my shop and she was like, you told me this story and I thought you was just bragging about yourself. I said, really? She goes, yeah, until the next week, until this something happened to her in a relationship. And she's like, everything made sense. I was like, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny.
For a reason.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, know,
and we don't just tell stories just to talk out of our butt.
I know. It's like, hello, what you guys, you know? It's
yeah,
like...
They're relating to you somehow.
Oh, this one lady called me one time, and I was sneezing and coughing. I had the flu. And I went on this, I was working for a psychic line. I just kind of like jumped on there and said, okay, let's do some readings. I'm putting myself out there to help some people. And this lady calls me and she goes, you're coughing and breathing and stuff. You know, how can you do a reading? You know, what are you even on here for? I'm sitting there going, you know that guy you were going to call me about and ask me about? And she goes, I was going to ask you about a guy, yes. And I said, you know that guy? I said, you know, you sit here and talk about this whole thing. I just went off. And when I'm angry, my readings are even more detailed. And I was like, this guy's been doing this to you, and he did this thing, and he went over like, and he ran over you, and all this kind of stuff going on. And I said, the best thing I see, what I see here is that you're not going to get back together with this guy. It's not going to happen. And you should have walked away years ago. And she was like, well, this last psychic said this and this and this. I said, so, does your teeth hurt? And she goes, what do you mean my teeth hurt? I said, that lady sugarcoated everything for you so badly. It's amazing your teeth don't hurt. And she was like,
okay.
She was like, oh, my God. And then, hold and behold, the relationship and everything, it was like calling me back and saying thank you. If I wouldn't have called you, I would have been still trying that relationship. It wasn't until you brought some things to my attention, which actually brought some things that she'd already seen. She would have never took them seriously. The lady that she'd called, I just felt like she was playing on her. She could read her mind, and she knew what she wanted to hear, and that's what she told her.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, I'm really sorry about that, about being sick, but I'm trying. You know, I was like trying to do some readings between coughings and sneezings, but I felt like I could do it, so I tried it. And it worked out pretty good. I'm just saying, I've had more people call me back and apologize who thought that I was just being mean until they realized, oh, my God. I said, well, don't freak out and thank you, that's fine, but I just hope you took the information and did something with it.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, okay, he's a great guy. Well, of course I am. But
most people, they won't really take the information to heart until, like you said, when it actually begins to reveal itself.
Yeah, and I've learned to be more, because I try to be giving and caring and loving, but I found out that you can still be stern and still come across the same way.
Mm-hmm.
People take you more seriously, too. And we were talking about this pay thing, too. A lot of times the reason I really got into charging people, because I started finding out that people that I was actually just giving readings to,
mm-hmm.
we're not taking them seriously.
Yeah.
They just wasn't. I was like, okay, why didn't you do that? And, well, it's for free, you know? I thought you was just entertainment purposes. This lady said, I thought you was just doing it for entertainment purposes only. I was like, that's for the commercials to cover people's butts on those freaking psychic lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. Because I don't believe that way. I believe that everybody I work for and all the things that I do are positive, and I work with positive people going through positive situations who want positive outcomes. So they're not going to come back and go and get mad at me. They're going to take the information. I feel my angels and my guides, and we all cross paths of people that will not do those things to us. And it's never happened. And it's one of those situations we keep focusing on just that,
mm-hmm.
positive outcomes. So therefore, I know, you know, you've probably done this before too, Candy. When you do readings for people, you learn a lot about yourself too as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Every single person I meet, I don't care if it's for 1 second or my entire lifetime, I learn something from them.
And that's why we give such great discounts, because, you know, something that's great therapy for us, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We're helping them help us.
Yeah, it's like a partnership. That's good. Yeah. Area code 678. Hello?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good tonight. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. I saw you popped up in the chat room, and I was like, okay. I've seen you go up and down the thing. I don't know if you've been popping in and popping out, but it's like you've been sitting there for a while. So I was like, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
Say hello to Candy, too. She's here.
Hello. How are you?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right. Great show.
What's your name?
My name is Brian.
Brian?
Okay.
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead and ask your question. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. The question I have tonight is, I've been met a young lady back in 2004 when I moved to this state, West Virginia, and I was instantly attracted to her, but me and her really never connect. But every now and then, for the last 7 years, I constantly, or every now and then, I think about her. And I'm not sure why, or there's a purpose or whatnot. And I just want to know what the spirit is saying.
I get the impression she thinks about you, too. And
yeah, that's why you're thinking about her.
Yeah, I keep getting the impression, what's the purpose? It's just, and I really don't see that like a big purpose. I just see the ideal of two people thinking about each other, where it could actually reflect off this whole thing of saying, I guess giving you a little resonance of you are a person a lot of people think about. You do make impressions with people. You made an impression with this woman. I get that as a positive thing. So, I mean, like I said before, I've had dreams about people and say, okay, why did I have that for? Or why is this going on? Well, it was just the idea of acknowledgement. I mean, for example, I met some girl. I dated her for like 4 or 5 months. Hadn't seen her in 15 years. And just happened to walk in a carryout and ran into this girl. And I remember what I was asking myself before that. It was just a simple question. If I ran into her again, would she remember me? Did I make an impression on her? And the very first thing she said when I walked through the door is she spoke my name. And I was just like, did anything ever happen there? No. I did try to pursue it again, and it just never crossed paths again. And I just felt like it was just an answer to a question. You know, what would she react? Did she remember me? And the answer was yes. And my angels and guides have a tendency to have crossed people's paths to get answers to help me realize that I already have the answers, but they do things in a physical sense. So they don't do a lot of the visual things, you know, like seeing her name and seeing something next to it. They do have a tendency to pull things up to me that if I dwell on them too much, they keep saying, you need to stop dwelling on her. On that kind of thing, they'll show me a name or a picture or something, but when I actually run into the person, it always seems to be an instant eureka moment.
Yeah, I was just about to jump in too, Donnie, that I also feel that you and this woman, you know each other not just from this lifetime, but from previous lifetimes. And so when you saw each other, you're like, hey, I remember you. And then she was saying the same thing, you know, inside her head. I do this quite a lot with people. I'll just either see their picture on the internet or walk past them in the store. It's like, wow, hey, I know you, but from where? You know, sometimes it comes up, sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very fascinating how that works.
No, I was just laughing because I've actually had a couple of people walk up to me and have these 20-minute conversations with all the things we've done together and all this stuff. And then I remember this girlfriend I had, we're sitting and the guy walks off and she goes, oh, so you know him? I said, no. I don't know who that guy was, but he sure knows me, and we had a lot of good times, you know. But I do not remember this guy. So, you know, I think we do repeat a lot of things from previous lifetimes.
Yeah,
and these lifetimes.
The same people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was like, I have that, and you're, you know, like Candy was saying, I've had so many people walk up to me and just, they think they know me. Everybody knows me. I mean, I've got, anywhere I go, and especially when I was visiting in California, and when I first went to Colorado, I said, I don't know you because I just moved here. So there's no way I can know you from here. And they go, I lived here my whole life. You sure? I said, well, I do have some blackouts from the 70s, but I don't think so. You know, so. But.
I'm the same way, you know, even now as I feel it, because I'm trying to get my books out there more and this and that. And I look at people and people just stare at me and I'm thinking, It's the energy that I'm really, really pushing, but I know that a lot of them I do know, you know, mm-hmm. especially where the places you reside, you know, when you see people, or even if you just move to that particular area, it's like, hey, you know what, I know you, and it's very interesting how that happens, you know, and little tidbits mm-hmm. will come into me of how right. I know them, what we used to do, you know, and very fascinating stuff.
Brian.
Yes.
No, I was just making sure you're still there because you got really quiet. I was just saying, because there's actually been documented proof, too, of hypnosis, of actually realizing there was actually one town in particular that everybody in that town had been together in the same town in a reincarnation. So it was like a lifetime they spent together. Plus with the situation I've been going through with Atlantis and that kind of stuff, when I run into people, the reason I really get more really feeling really good about what I'm actually picking up with how Atlantis actually influenced just not an area but the whole world
running into people
I run into all the time. I'm just glimpses in there, and it's amazing when someone sits here and yes guys, it still amazes me to this day, I've been doing this for a very long time, that when I do these readings and stuff like that and pick up things with people and they go, that's exactly right, I still freak out. I don't know why. I think it's one of those things. I think that when you actually do what you love to do, that you find it fascinating every day you do it. And that's why we do it. So I was wondering, so with the situation with you, you've made lots of impressions. And when she said life, past lifetimes, I actually got at least four with this particular woman.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I guess what I want.
You guys were lovers in your past lifetime too.
Huh?
You were lovers, best friends. You were sisters.
Yeah.
I did say sisters. so you can, you know.
I see, parent child.
Right. So you've spent a lot of times together. So, buddy, those are past lifetimes of experiencing things, and I know I still experience it in this lifetime when there are certain things I'm kind of like going through, like I said before, and going through meeting people and stuff. But I've actually been in bad. I was actually in a couple abusive relationships because I feel like, in some ways, I was being a little too arrogant with the people that I was actually working with, and I think I was actually put in those situations to see them from the inside out, which has a tendency to go. If you listen to how I do a lot of my with the readings and the counseling, it goes along with them going inwards. They always tend to point me inwards of in situations, people, and myself. So, I mean, when you think about this woman and the things that happened, even when you saw her, I mean, what was the one thing that went on inside of you?
Well, instantly when I first met her, I just felt that I was going to marry her. But in the aftermath of that interaction, things did not go well between us. They were very fragile because she's a very judgmental person. And even though I knew this about her, there was always something that attached myself to the possibility that something could possibly happen between us.
Uh-huh.
And with this last few years, she's been pursuing this particular one guy who was not giving her much interest in her. But I don't have to use her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the type of person who's like, I'm the type of guy that, you know, I can take care of her, and we can take care of one another. And I just want to know, does she see the possibility of that happening? Because I am more than willing to give it a second try.
Well, I feel like. Yeah, with the situation I pick up real quickly is the idea of being lovers before. That seemed to be her, I guess you would say her weak point of always looking for somebody else. When she couldn't, it's like she doesn't accept herself, okay? In the process of not accepting herself, she doesn't accept the people that she's with. So she doesn't see what's right in front of her because she didn't see herself. So she's always looking for that. When she doesn't see it, and when she doesn't see what she thinks she should be, and the person she should be with, she keeps looking. Now you can take that to the bank, man, because I don't know where that came from. That was my angel talking, saying that's what she did, and she's still doing it to this day. And because the first thing that came up when you was talking about her, she's still not learning her lesson. She's come back to, she's actually come back and says, I want to be a more caring, kind person and see past the illusion. And I feel like she's gone through certain reincarnations. Incarnations that she just hasn't. I don't know why she's not grasping this. It's just, it's definitely a spiritual thing for her. And the idea that the possibility of being married and could be married, it could have been. I feel like at one time it could have been a possibility, but right now with the situation, she cannot see you.
Absolutely, I can absolutely believe that.
So what you need to do is you need to focus. But you know, in the reflection too, Brian, it also reflects back to you that you also need to focus on yourself as well, because you are an asset.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you draw people to you. when I first heard your voice, I'm like, this is a man who has something to say, and it's important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's why you came on that way ahead of everybody else, and they're screaming. I can hear them. What the heck is he doing coming up?
Okay.
Like a friend of mine said, if you can do it better, then get your own show. But you know, but
I'm not going to put myself on that pedestal, but it was definitely worth the wait.
Okay, well, I want you to do that. I mean, I feel like right now, if you focus on yourself and realize exactly you are an asset, you're a fantastic person, and the qualities that you bring to a relationship, not what she brings to the relationship, but what you bring to the relationship, he will definitely see you're going to find somebody, and what you're looking for, I always tell people this a lot, too, because I feel like it's the truth. Once you know yourself, then it's easier to find a person because you know what you're looking for.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, the best thing for you to do is when you get off the phone, start focusing on yourself and saying, you know, something came to my attention too. It said that I sit right down and said, okay, what kind of person would I like to be with? And I started writing. And this last time I wrote, it was kind of funny too, because I was actually writing things out in my journal. And as I started, I would say, okay, I like to be with a girl who's 5'2". And then this voice says, no, she's 5'3". I'm sitting there going, okay, well, what's coming through? Oh, I said, okay, 115 pounds. No, she weighs 112. I'm sitting there, okay. Okay, how about blue eyes? No, blue eyes. She's got green eyes. I'm like, okay, guys, overriding my writing. It was kind of cool. But it was one of those things of going with the flow. And when things like that happen to me, it's the idea of doing the same thing. Because I've actually, on days that I've actually made the most money in my every time I've ever done anything, is when I sit down and go, I don't care. All I want to do is readings. And I want to help people. And just put myself really into the service. But also service for myself. Because the more I sit there and just focus on just the person who's across the table and make that person at that time the only person in the world, you learn so much about yourself. And with you, it's the same thing. You see so many things through other people. And you got to trust that, because every person that crosses your path is a reflection. Well, that's not a bad thing. That can also be a good thing, of just reflecting back to you to confirm just exactly who you are. Okay? And once you realize that, you're going to attract a girl here in the next 2 months, if not 2 weeks. It's up to you. But you need to let her go and realize, yeah, she thinks about you. She is a kind, caring person. She's very spiritual. But at this time, she's also letting a lot of the world dictate her decisions for her, too. But you're coming to a point where you're not. You see things for what they are. And you always have. You've always been dragging her behind you. That's what I keep getting.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, spiritually he's so far ahead of her, but she needs to learn these lessons first before you guys, you know, if there is any kind of a future in another lifetime, you know, if you guys were ever going to meet again. But she just has, it's really funny because I see her just dragging baggage, and it gets heavier and heavier with each lifetime because for some reason she's not learning it, so she throws it right back in her bag. Okay, I'll try to learn that next lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Does it, then she accumulates more. So yeah, you are so far ahead of her.
And you know what? I just want to say something real quick to everybody who's in the queue. We will get to you. So don't. And if we go up the air, whatever. I always stick here until everybody has got a chance to ask their questions and everything. So don't worry about that. And if you want to stick around too, Candy, you're more than welcome to do so.
Yeah.
But
well, at 8, I'll probably have to hop off.
I'm just saying,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been an interesting evening, I will say. I thank you for allowing me to be here.
You're welcome. You're more than welcome to come back anytime you want to.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. So, Brian?
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's time to hang up the phone and, well, I always say, grasp the reins and take back your power, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely.
All right,
okay.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, man. You have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Do, do, do. Oh. Let's go on to, I guess it's Thomas. That's what the name says. Thomas, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Well, say hello to Candy.
Hi, Candy.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm doing very well.
Oh, good. I just had a question about a relationship. I was seeing someone and I met in December overseas. And we were talking pretty well. And then all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, she stopped talking to me. I'm wondering if I need to let her go.
Well,
I feel like she's letting you go.
Oh, okay. So I need to let her let me go then?
Well. What an interesting way to put it. What you need to do is, I've had this one, I had a conversation a couple of times where people say letting go. I said you should have never grasped a hold of her in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Which means the ideal, it's like two people are kind of, even when you first got together, you were kind of scared that it might not go anywhere, so you kind of grasped tightly to each other. And now she's kind of like, I keep getting interest in somebody else. That there's somebody. Okay. And I'm saying.
Right, go ahead.
I'm just saying, but the ideal, it's one of those things I keep getting a focus that she's interested in somebody else. Now, with the situation with this person you're talking about, I don't think that she would tell you that. And to me, it comes off as an infatuation. But it still exists, and she's still being pulled in a different direction, so she's not grasping on to you as tightly, so you're not really let go of that yet. You feel that. And I just feel like you need to let go.
I feel like you just need to get out there and meet people.
Okay. No, I thought there was a connection, but I guess maybe it was wrong. I don't know if it was just I need to be patient.
No, Thomas, you're not wrong. See, connections. If we all come from the same source, we're all connected. It's just
right.
We have to take a little bit further sometimes to see what kind of connection it is. And with her, you definitely had a connection with her. But the point is, I believe strongly that we love everyone we've ever come across. We just have to make a choice if it works. And if it's what's for our highest good. So we move on. But we still love those people, and there's still connections and that kind of thing. I'm just saying with you, there's something coming for you that you need to let just go, so therefore it can be a part of your life. Because you keep hanging on to her. She's like a barbed wire fence with electric on. No one's going to come in. Okay?
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
So just turn it off and open the gates and say, okay, what are the possibilities, Thomas? You're a very interesting person, very in-depth person, and I just don't see why you would have a problem meeting anybody.
Well, it's not that. I know I don't. I have other interests, but I guess I just thought really, like, this was it. This was the one, but I guess maybe it was a false feeling. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're looking too hard, too.
What's that?
Yeah,
I think you're looking too hard, Thomas. You're putting too much stock into, you put too much stock into her when in reality you weren't listening to your inner guidance tell you no.
Yeah, we got it. I'm just saying with the situation also to look at it.
Okay.
In the process of focusing and thinking about her, in some ways your life is slowed down or even stopped.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
And if she was the one, your life would still be flowing. You'd be flowing together.
It'd be flowing wonderfully.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want you to let her go. And just realize you're destined for somebody else, and so is she. So therefore, let her go and grasp her life, and you open up for yours.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And definitely, like I said before, the 14th is Monday. I just realized this. So I'm telling everybody, if you want to take a chance, take advantage of this $10 special I got going on, I'd be glad to work with you. I'd love to have a busy weekend and on Monday. So if you want to get a chance, take advantage of that. I would welcome it, and I think it'd be good for you. Because in my sessions, I do everything I do in any kind of session. So if you want past life or whatever it is, I think a past life reading would be good for you because you'd find out some things about yourself that would kind of make you realize why you do have the tendency to hang on.
Okay, that would be good. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'll definitely look into it.
Okay, we'll look into it and do what you got to do.
Okay.
So I want you to do the same thing. Get off the phone and grasp your life and say, okay, let's go.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You have a good night.
You too, thanks.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Have a wonderful night.
You too.
Yeah, I feel like that if he did have a past life reading with you, Donnie, that he would find out his abandonment issues run real deep.
Mm-hmm.
Real deep.
Yeah, so...
Well, I understand. Mm-hmm. Been there.
Me too. And once you come to realize those things, I mean, I know past lives for me were just... amazing with some of the things that I've seen that make so much. I mean, I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, I'd have a tough time for a long time of trusting anybody to be behind me or someone to get my back. I always had everybody else's back, but never really trust anybody to have mine.
Uh-huh.
And I found out in a past life in Egypt, I was actually one of the pharaoh's guards,
mm-hmm.
and was knifed in the back.
Mm.
And this one guy, I told her I described this sword that I was actually knifed in the back with. And at that time, I mean, I'd studied Egyptian, but I knew about Egyptian, and I was always fascinated with it, but never realized why. Mm-hmm. And he said, man, it's amazing how you describe that sword, because that sword is not really something you see, because a lot of things with Egyptians, with their pharaohs and the guards, I mean, the idea of having guards to the pharaoh hasn't really been really brought out in kind of history
or
anything like that.
Yeah, it's not really a hot topic, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, he said, how do you know that? I'm like, I was there.
You know? Yeah, exactly. I was there. I just know.
Oh, yeah, because when I was talking about, when they were talking about King Arthur, I'm like, that is just bull. And she's like, well, how do you know? Because I was there. I mean, King Arthur was never, you know, he trusted everybody, so therefore everybody trusted him. It was a different kind of thing, man. Come on. And she goes, you sure about that? I'm like, I'm not even going to go there.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So let's go
yeah.
on to, oh, I'm tired. Okay, here we go. 818. And the, hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well.
You're doing very well? Let me guess. Yes. Is this Desiree?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So, lady from California.
Where you located, Desiree? I'm in Northern California by Sacramento.
Los Angeles. But my son is up at Chico, and he's going to be graduating in May.
Oh, congrats to him.
Yeah, he's going to be walking a line. It's going to be really powerful.
Walking the line. Yeah.
I feel good things for him.
Well, thanks. I was calling in because I have a relationship question about a gentleman that I was seeing, and his name is Eric.
Eric.
Eric. Mhm.
Eric. You know, You know, with the situation with him, I keep getting superficial.
Yeah, I was getting not real.
Yeah, so I was getting superficial. Okay. I'm just trying to get this information correctly, because it's like hard plastic on the outside, soft plastic on the inside. Either way you go, it's still the same.
You just had it. That was a great poem, Donnie.
Thank you. So.
Well, yeah. What has your inner thought been about him? That's right.
Well, my inner thought has been I can't quite put my finger on it, actually.
Under the surface kind of thing. You know it's there. There's something there that's kind of bothering you.
Mhm. Yeah, that's a red flag. You need to really examine that a little more closely.
Yeah, it's definitely an insecurity. And I think the thing I keep picking up the most is if you really want to understand him, and, you know, no way this is like an insult, okay, Desiree? It's just the idea I keep saying you should need to focus on yourself.
Okay.
Because it would definitely make it. Go ahead.
I ended up giving him a really nice email to say thank you very much for teaching me a great lesson. And the lesson was basically not to settle for less, and I have not heard a word.
Huh. I keep getting...
So I thought, interesting.
So you were thanking him, and for some reason, I feel like you took it the wrong way.
Oh, I don't know if he took it the wrong way or not. I was wondering if perhaps he'd be picking up whether or not he'd be calling back or not.
Hmm.
Do you really want him to call you back?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Desiree, it's like this. I feel like if you wait for him to call you back, you'll be waiting a long time.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
I just feel like that if you wait for him to call you back, because I got a strong no, and I also got the idea mm-hmm. of seeing you waiting for your Social Security check.
Oh.
So
it's going to be a long time.
Yeah, so it was like sitting on the porch, rocking in your rocking chair, going, maybe he'll come with the mail. But, you know, that's what I saw. Go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Well, you're waiting. It seems like you're waiting for some kind of communication, and I keep seeing that you're focusing on getting an email back from him.
Not exactly, but that's a good one.
I'm just saying, you know, so when I saw it, it was like I saw email. Well, I get an email, and then I saw the picture of you waiting for the mail, and just seemed like the two kind of put together. It's like the mailman shows up, and he doesn't have anything for you. So it's like kind of saying, I mean, seriously, I don't see him calling.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate it, because I was just trying to figure it out myself.
But like I said, I feel like if you focus on yourself, on some of the things that you're trying to, you feel on the surface,
mm-hmm.
I feel like if you focus on yourself and you see some things about yourself, it would make sense.
All right, well, I will do that. I will definitely focus on myself.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Have a
great night.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, she used to be my co-host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of like, there's some people you like working with.
Yeah.
They kind of come back to the show and say, hey, that was great. And then I do not know how many co-hosts I've actually had. At least 3 or 4, and they just kind of like, they're gone. So.
I don't understand that, because you're so honest, you know? You remind me a lot of myself.
Right.
It's funny because where I live, I know that I've, you know, been with these people for many lifetimes, and now that I'm back, I'm like, oh God, get the hell away from me. I don't want you people in my life anymore. You know?
That's why we're not there anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, no, been there, done that. I'm not going to play with your shit anymore.
Yeah, because I was sitting here looking at some things going on, and I was like, God, I came back to Circleville, and I'm like, I'm okay for a little bit. And that's where my family, and down this little area where we're at now. But after a while, it's just like, oh my gosh. When I was out in Colorado, I think Colorado is one of those people, where I was at, people coming in, people going out. You have people coming in. And for a while there, I thought it was kind of like, in some ways, it could have been a little downer. Because I was meeting so many people, but no one was coming back. And my friend came to me and she goes, well, maybe you're doing good. You're helping people and they're out there living their lives. They don't need to come back. And she said, you also need to get through your head, too. That when a person walks through your door, it's not the last person that's going to be walking through them and walking back out.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I have a lot of good friends who point things out and say, okay. And I think that's good. I mean, I had this one lady, I was actually thinking about going through Jack Canfield's, he has coaches and stuff. And she's like, why would you want to do that? I said, well, I was just trying to get some, a little bit more, I don't know, work a little bit more to add, maybe it would bring something more to me that I could pass on to my clients. And she goes, what do you mean? She goes, you're fantastic. I'm like, okay. Pretty soon, if I talk to her any longer, I'm not going to be able to get to the door. But she said that she thought I was a great, fantastic coach. She thought this and that and the other. She thought I was just doing that to hide. And I was sitting there going, you know, there's been a couple. Well, I ran away at the carnival last year. And when I was working for the carnival, every time I went someplace, I mean, I don't hide anything that I do.
Yeah.
I was working for the carnival. I told them exactly this is what I do for a living. And they're going, what are you here for? Make some quick money. And that's why I looked at it. But every time I walked in someplace or something like that, these people would sit there and kind of like brag. Or this one kid used to tease me all the time, so he'd tell people, he does palm readings, better watch out. And next thing I know, I'd be doing palm readings for 20 minutes in a restaurant. So it was kind of what I'm saying, it was just always pointing me back. So I felt like it was running away to the carnival. It was running away for a while. Even my friend said that. She said, I wish I could do that too. But she said, it's good for you to do that from time to time, to walk away from it for a while. And then come back in fresh. So I was like, but you can't do it too many times when you run away.
Yeah, that was always my thing. I used to always run away, you know, from who I was, what I was, what I did, you know. And then when I found writing, I'm like, you know, this is what I really want to do, you know. I just feel like I can express myself
And that's
more
what I'm
going to
do, too.
More openly in words.
Right. Sorry. I'm going to go into area code. Yeah, area code. Area code. Take a deep breath. 515.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Whoa.
How are you guys?
Pretty
how
good.
Are
how are you?
I'm doing good. Well, she came across really quickly. Usually I got to say hi a couple of times before they actually realize they're on the air. Well, she was late.
I was just listening. I'm hanging out. I have actually a relationship question as well. My boyfriend of like 8 months, we're taking a break right now. His name is Curtis, and he's
Curtis.
Going through a divorce. Yeah, Curtis. And he's going through a divorce. And so it's been really tough, and I've done my best to like stick by him and give him the space at the same time. So
uh-huh.
I just want to see if you see this getting back on track once everything's finalized and that thing.
Okay, you're asking about his divorce being finalized?
Well, no, I'm asking about our relationship getting back on track. Like, are we going to get back together? Because we're taking a little bit of a break right now until everything's done.
Mm-hmm.
But we still talk and stuff. And so I just wonder if you see us getting back together and moving forward as a couple.
Okay, we know what his name is, but what is yours?
Oh, Marcia, sorry.
Marcia. Okay.
I hear that all the time.
I know that, so I thought throw it out there for you so you can hear it again. Do you like marshmallows a lot?
No, not at all.
Oh, that's why I picked them up. So, okay. She doesn't like the Marcia thing, and when you said that, when we said that, and you got kind of like didn't like that Marcia thing, and I got marshmallows too, so I think that's why they're in the same context as they don't like them.
Yeah.
see, the one thing I picked the most is you focus a lot on you're focusing too much on him.
Yeah.
And not enough on yourself,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So what I see in the situation is I feel like there's going to be a long break because if you focus on yourself and come to some conclusions on yourself, you might actually make this a little bit longer, if not indefinitely,
mm-hmm.
because of you've been kind of neglecting yourself. Curtis is going through a divorce, and I've always seen situations like this. It doesn't matter if the relationship's been over for years and that kind of stuff. Guys are the worst. They seem to hang on to these things and want to whine and, oh, you know. And I feel like Curtis is a whiner. I'm sorry. I just do.
Uh-huh.
I know you love this man. And I for some reason, I keep getting this impression that you love what he represents. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, we took this break. His ex-wife came to visit, and that's why, you know, we took the break. Because they were sorting out the divorce. He's been over in the States. He's not originally from the States. And he came over from the state, or she came over for like 3 weeks to visit. So she lives in South Africa. But
that was interesting.
She wreaked havoc on his life. She's tried killing herself. She's stalked him. She's done everything she possibly can. And it's been really tough on him. So, I mean, he has been very focused on himself the last, like, 2 months, trying to
mm-hmm.
get through this. And, you know, I've tried to be supportive. And that's the thing, like, you know, I guess my focus has been, and this is where it would make sense, my focus has been based on what our relationship was to help me get through it as well, you know, for those 3 weeks that she was here. And then after, you know, we had an amazing relationship. And so now it's all kind of taken a backseat to, you know, he might have to move. He might have to, like, so all this stuff is, like, on the back burner. You know, like, I'm on the back burner right now, and his job, you know, his job is over on Tuesday, and he hasn't got a new job yet because he's a contractor. He may have to move. The whole divorce thing, he just found out his dad had cancer, all within like the last 2 months. And he's
mm-hmm.
like, you're my best friend and the only person I talk to about this stuff. So, you know, I'm kind of caught between, I want to be there for him, but I also want him to make me a priority, you know,
mm-hmm.
which I was before she came. So that's where my conflict is, you know.
I understand. I'm just saying, sometimes I have a hard time when guys tell you that we're best friends. And he talks to you about these things because it's usually, I'm just saying, it just hit kind of awkward hitting me because I have a particular girl that was my best friend too, but I've never actually used the term toward her as I'm talking to her. I always tell everybody else, this is my best friend, but when I'm talking to her, I just go to her and talk about these things. I don't really.
Well, that was because we had a talk last Saturday where we decided to do this break, and I said, if we're breaking for good, I don't know if I can, you know, handle that, and so I might just have to, like, be done with you. And he's like, but you're my best friend, you know, and I'm scared I'm never going to see you again. So, like, I'm trying to do the friend thing, but it's not,
okay.
it's not, Yeah.
Okay. So can I ask a question? Can I ask a question? In the context of that conversation, how many times did he tell you that he loved you?
See, and he hasn't said that to me because he doesn't feel it's appropriate until his divorce is final. I mean, he won't. I don't know. Maybe if he's old-fashioned, maybe, I don't know. It's just, he told me straight from the get-go. So the thing is, like, I never once doubted that he loved me, you know, like when we were together.
Okay. I understand that, Marcia. I'm just saying with the situation, to tell somebody that you love them and to say it's inappropriate, every time you say that, I can hear a fear in your voice. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you don't believe it. I'm just saying I hear this fear in your voice. I feel like you should have honored yourself when you said, I cannot deal with this, so therefore I can't deal with the temporary breakup. I think I should be done with this. I think something was telling you right then and there to cut it loose. And when I look at the situation, the whole thing and everything's unfolding, the reason I don't see you being a part of his life because I feel like his life is going in a different direction. Not because he doesn't love you or he does love you. I just feel like it's kind of, he doesn't want to finalize it. Saying I love you finalizes everything. It really does. I mean, and with the situation, him saying what he said, because he won't tell you. I do not believe in old-fashioned. I had a lady say to me one time, we're old-fashioned. Men chase after women. Really. Go look at history. I guarantee you the women were chasing after men because we had it all. Okay?
Yeah.
So the old-fashioned thing here was 1950, and it was an illusion. Okay? It was people walking. And I'm just saying, with the situation you're in, I want you to look at it seriously for yourself. It's like you're saying a lot of things, like you're trying to convince yourself of some other things that are in this relationship. I'm just saying, from all the things that I see happening in his life, because I would sit there and say he really does have genuine feelings for you. But I feel like he really doesn't tell you that he loves you because he doesn't want to finalize it and he doesn't want to admit it himself. And I don't see him doing that for a while, if ever. Because I feel like in the situation of the people being pulled in two different directions, that he's going to be leaving. That's what I keep getting, leaving, and then the situation of long, almost like a long goodbye. And what I mean by long goodbye is that you're still going to be talking to each other on the phone and that kind of stuff, and it's just going to be a realization for both of you one day to go, you know, it was something that you should let go of a long time ago.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Candy, are you still there?
I was the thing that I keep feeling from you, Marcia, is you're, like you said, you had this talk and then you guys just kind of went your separate ways. But I feel like he wants you to hang on the line. You know what I mean? It's like he still wants you to be there when, you know, the chips fall or, you know, when this whole thing is just over. But I agree with Donnie on this one.
To be there in what aspect, though? Like, as a friend or just to, like,
I get the impression he doesn't really know.
Yeah, I don't think he really knows either.
I don't think he knows. He just wants to hang on to you.
Uh-huh.
And this is like,
you're like,
I guess,
a security blanket to him.
Yeah, it's like a what if. What if things do work out and we can do this whole thing? And he's waiting for that to happen. But there's still things I see unfolding in his life right now. I mean, the one thing that kind of hit me kind of hard too was when he gets emotional because his wife or whoever she is was going through all this stuff. She's going to kill herself and that kind of stuff. And he said it was a hard time for him. The reason I find it difficult is because, you know, he's with you. Now, I'm just saying, with situations with my ex-wife, I still, you know, it's one of those things someone asked me the other day, do you still love her? Of course I do. But is she crazy? Of course she is. It's just the idea of omitting those things and then distancing yourself from those things because you know why those things are like that. In favor of the person I'm with, I'm honoring the person I'm with. So if my ex-wife comes to me and says, I'm going to kill myself, well, here's the gun, you know. It's just that it's theatrics. It's what it is.
You know, and I know that, and I told him that, you know. It's just,
and he knew that, too. He knew that, too. But, see, the point is, you feed into the whole thing, and you're there to nurturing him. So he takes it, and he likes that kind of stuff. But, you know, does he really know on what level he wants that on? Does he want it forever, or does he just like it now? I just don't think he's really thought that out. But he wants to hang on to you until he figures it out.
I'm just kind of a hopeless I can't even talk. Hopeless, optimistic. Like I mean, I'm madly in love with this man, and it's been a hard couple, you know, weeks. And you know, the thing is, I wonder if I take a few steps back, you know, and just kind of make him make me worth his effort, you know, and see how that plays out. Like, I mean, and I'll have my answer soon enough. Like, I mean, if he, you know, because he, I was on a pedestal, uh-huh. you know, and he treated me like a queen, and then it just all went
I would say that was the first mistake. The ideal of having balance in your life is also having balanced relationships. And when there's somebody on a pedestal, that person, that relationship's off balance because one's higher than the other.
I didn't mean it in those terms, but like, I mean, I treated him the same way as well. Like, I mean, meant like in relation to other relationships, like he was very attentive and made effort for me and, you know, put me first a lot of the time, which I put him first a lot of the time. So, you know.
Okay, so it was like a fluctuating.
No, it was like balanced. It was perfectly balanced. Like, I mean, we didn't have any games. There was no bull crap. It was just us, and we had fun every day, and that's what it was.
I'm sorry, sweetie. The word is bullshit. Okay.
What?
But, no, I'm just saying with you. Okay, no, listen to me. I'm just saying listen to yourself and take a breather and take a break because right now you're really trying to convince us this. And I just want you to look at that, okay? Okay, I'm not saying you didn't see this relationship this way, but I also feel like what I said before in the first part of the reading, that if you sit there and take a look at yourself and look at things how they are, you will see that there was some imbalances in the relationship. But it's like you are, you're deeply in love with this man, and I'm not going to dispute it one way or the other. I'm just saying I keep getting pointed back to point you back to look inwards and to look at yourself and ask yourself, how much do you love yourself? Okay? Because I hear all the time how much you love this man. Okay? But I just want you to look at yourself and ask yourself, how much do you love yourself? Are you putting all your...
That totally makes sense, and this last week, that's a lot of what I've been focusing on as far as, like, what I can handle and what I can't handle with this relationship, and am I getting what I need out of it?
Yes. So. Well, yeah, okay. But still, take a, you know, what am I getting? What am I receiving? If he leaves tomorrow, will my foundation be gone? If you come to the conclusion that exactly what's going to happen that you're so scared of is your foundation never coming back, then it's telling you that you need to focus on yourself, love yourself, and focus on building your own foundation for yourself. It's like a realization of how much of an asset that you are to him. So you're looking at, I'm getting all this stuff from him. But you should also look at all the things that you've been doing for him, too, as well. So you're an asset. If he walks out the freaking door and never comes back again, you will definitely find somebody else. I just feel like in this situation, all the things that you want in a relationship, all the love, all the care, all the nurturing, all the things that you've ever dreamed of, you're going to get. I just don't think it's going to be with the person you think it is. I think it's the person who's coming in, who's after this situation. And I keep seeing that very strongly the whole time I've gone through this. Oh, shoot, someone called me, and I was actually playing with my phone and hung up on him. Oh, well. okay. I guess I shouldn't play with my phone, should I? I'm just saying, with your situation, the one thing I keep focusing on the most is you focusing on yourself. Because as you were sitting here getting in the last part of the reading, you're really trying to convince us of what it was, almost like you're trying to convince yourself. That's why I say you should take some time. You've got the time now to take that for yourself. I just feel like once you start looking inwards, I would definitely sit down, do a meditation. And the meditation I usually recommend in this kind of situation is reconnecting with Source, which is not just connecting with yourself, but also connecting with your spirits, your guides, and everyone around you that are talking to you right now going, she'll get it. Just give her some time. They have a lot of patience with you. They really do. And I always say people who have seven guides, it's usually... You need five of those guys to grab the arms, and you need two of them to push you. Go. Set yourself free. You need to fly. You need to go. And I feel like this was a good thing for you at the time that it happened, but I feel like it's also come to a pass. There are some things that you did learn about yourself. You just need to take time to reflect on them to realize exactly what did unfold here, okay?
Okay.
Candy?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I agree wholeheartedly on the whole thing. That definitely, she definitely needs to start, looking within and working on herself. And because I think that there are some aspects there that that she would like to delve into and perhaps change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. And thank you. I mean, you guys have given me a lot to think about, so thank you. I appreciate
good.
It.
You're
the only meditation, the only thing I was going to tell you about, the meditation I'm talking about is the meditation that you sit there, you sit down in a chair, close your eyes, point your head down, at your chest, like you're praying, and then I want you to focus and use your imagination and see a pilot light behind your heart, a blue pilot light. That is your God essence, okay? Focus on that. As you're focusing on that, say to yourself, I love, I love, I love. Okay? As you're saying this to yourself, and take the pilot light, expand it until it basically is big. It's about the same size as a little bit bigger than your body. When I've done this and let myself go, when I've expanded that light, it illuminates my whole body and my aura and my chakras, so I can actually see the blockages. Okay, I really feel like you need to do some grounding meditations too as well. And when you do those, what you do is you focus on, there's three chakras. There's your root chakra. There's the chakras behind your knees. And there's a chakra that's actually below your feet. This is excellent for grounding yourself. Okay? Do that.
Okay.
Because every time I look at your root chakra, it's brown. It should be ruby red. So, but I would do recommend that you do that meditation so you can actually see everything. And then you'll see what you need to do in blockages. But still, do some meditations in the morning to clear those chakras too.
Okay.
You've been subjected to a lot of things. And I'd also suggest that you get a past life reading, too. I think it would really help you understand of attachments that you have in your life. They're really good tools to sit and trace it back to the source to find out why you do certain things. And I think it would really help you out. And like I said, I got this $10 special going on until February 14th. So if you can do that, I'd be happy to work with you.
Is there a website for that, or...?
What I tell everybody to do, the best thing to do is just go to the show page on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And you'll see my face, you'll see my picture. And to the right, it says profile. Right underneath the profile, it has my webpage. You click on that, it takes you right to my webpage. And I think it's another click into where it says readings. And then to take advantage of the special right now, since my prices have all changed, I've already changed all of them. What you do is you go to the donation button and just donate $10. And then call me. The phone number's in there. Just call me and tell me you've done that, and then that's it. We do the reading, and you usually have more than an hour with me. So if it goes over, I always tell people it's an hour session usually, but if it goes over like an hour and a half, then if you feel like you should do something besides that and like donate some money to the show, do what you feel like you should do. I always tell this is a good time to really listen to your guidance of what you should do and follow through with it. Because that's what I do. I give anything I can give it when I can. I've actually done things where I sit there and go, take my last $20 bill and say, this is not my last $20 bill. I'm going to send it to a charity. This is the start of to show not just me, but everybody how abundant and prosperous the universe is. So I send my $20 bill out, and every time I've done that, I've gotten so many freaking jobs after that.
Okay.
But just,
yeah,
I mean,
I totally
just affirms the universe. And when I say prosperous and abundant, that also includes relationships, careers, and everything else that goes along with it. So open yourself up to any kind of opportunity that's coming to you right now. For some reason, I keep getting a job, too.
We're switching up a lot at work, so that might explain it, but yeah.
You definitely got more money coming in, so open up and receive.
God, I hope so. I hope so. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. You have a good night.
Hey, you guys too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, you know what?
You gotta go?
Yeah.
It's okay. No, I got two more people to go through, so...
Okay. Well,
oh, I got a headache.
Well, yeah, but you've been reading nonstop for a while, so...
I was just going to say, I mean, yeah, I got two people left, but I mean, I understand if you got to go, you got to go, and, but it's been fun. It's been really good, and...
Yeah, I would love to hop on here again, and...
Well, now we only got one. One left.
Oh, jeez.
So, we were just saying thank you to Candy, and she was leaving. You could have hung around. Come on.
exactly.
But, yeah, just, I always say, don't make you know, it's like, don't be a stranger. Pop in. I've seen you a lot on the morning show.
Mm-hmm.
God, I feel like Regis and Kelly, don't I? On the morning show.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question before you go, Candy. Is there any chance I can ask you a couple questions before you go?
Sure, what do you got?
And I actually want to do this reading for this guy. I wanted to ask you a couple questions. Just a real quick question. This thing with Courtney. For some reason, I keep getting this impression Courtney's going to kind of like, the way it comes to me is fade away.
Bail on you? Yeah. I kind of figured that too.
So in a situation like this, I feel, because I've always seen myself doing this show by myself, maybe acquiring someone else to deal with me. So, yeah. So I was kind of curious about that whole thing. I got this girlfriend right now. I'm trying to figure that whole situation out, but, you know, it's one of those things of choices. I keep seeing it as a choice. It's one of those things of see where it goes, but I keep seeing there's going to be somebody in Colorado for me anyway, and I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah. You know what? I saw that as soon as you started saying that you want to go to Colorado.
Yeah, because I got this girl right now who's, like, confessing her love to me all the time, and I'm not saying she's not a great woman, but there's something, and that's all I'll say, is there's something... Like Desiree was talking about, there's something
off.
Yeah, something. There's something underneath the surface, and you're like, okay, I'm trying to pick it up here, but I feel like I need to explore it to see that, I guess. Because one thing I don't have to worry about is calling. She calls all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She actually called the show one night. That was interesting, because she came up with an unknown number. I didn't know it was her.
Oh,
and she came on the show and just confessed her love to everybody. And that's been... That I've had some weird situations happen with the show. I had one lady come on the show and she said, "Man, you got one sexy voice. I'd like to go out with you." I'm like, going, "Okay, do you have a question?"
<You know>? No kidding.
So that was kind of freaky. But I do have some questions. I actually want to talk to you and see if we could like trade out readings or something.
Okay.
Because I want to definitely So I was just going to say, if I could take down your number, maybe call you after I get done with this last caller. Would that be okay, or are you busy?
Well, I know it's actually 8:17 here.
Okay.
So,
no. I'm just saying, whatever. Oops. Well, you know something?
You have no more callers.
That was kind of a manifesting thing, wasn't it? I always say that sometimes with situations like that, they happen for a reason. Okay, I'm sorry. Just two questions, and if you want to call me, you can ask me anything you want. I know it's like 8:17, but I promise you, just two questions. And one question was, okay, someone said that the way it went, I talked to someone before. They said they saw me going to Colorado, but they also saw me reconnecting with somebody who was also my wife in a past life, who also, as she put it, misses me very much. So what do you get on that?
Well, the first thing I see is it's someone that you have been with before, like in a past life. Whether she was a wife, I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there will be a history between you. You know, you're both going to know it immediately. It's funny because I think she's going to mention to you, "Do you remember when?" You know, and then go into like a few spiels here and there.
That's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working in Colorado, I had my first shop. Some lady called and came in. I cannot remember the girl's name. It might have been Nicole. I can't remember her name. I can remember her friend's name that she talked about because she was somebody, some lady named Elizabeth. And I said, I think I know Elizabeth. And she goes, I wouldn't doubt it. And then I had never met this woman before in my life. She came in with a boyfriend. And we just started talking about the last 11 past lives.
Oh, wow.
Like we were best friends, like we hadn't seen each other in a couple weeks, and we're just reminiscing about all these things. And I was telling my friend, I said, this is the stuff that happens to me all the time. These people just walk in and did this whole thing. And then there was a couple bars, and she ran to the bars. And I tried to get down doing a reading for her and stuff and talking to her. She ran to the bars, started pulling people in. I was actually doing readings until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, so it was like freaking out. And then after it all winds down, she walks over to me and kisses me on my cheek. And she says, as always, it's great to see you. And she leaves. And I was like, that's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah, so, you know, I was like, and we talked. And she was like, you know, we've been best friends. We did this. I mean, it was just this long, lengthy history together. And I'm sure if we would have sit there and talked anymore, because we were talking like this. We would sit there and talk to each other. And I said, you know, it's been a while since I've seen you. And she goes, yes, it is. But she said, I always find you to get me back on the path. I said, yeah, but you never listen. She goes, yes, but it's always good to see you.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there. So we're having this conversation. So the boyfriend's sitting there. And what's so funny about it was that was her first date with him that night. I just imagine what this guy's going through his head going, okay, this is kind of freaking weird.
Yeah, and, he's probably thinking, I'm dumping her after tonight.
So it all went down. It all went down like that. And then, like I said, as she was leaving, real sweet, she walks over and gives me a kiss on the cheek, and she says, as always, it's great to see you, and she left. Never saw her again.
Wow.
But it was intense. And I actually got some crystals back from when I was with the... That's why I told a friend of mine, that's why I know where Atlanteans came from, what they evolved from, because I was actually one of those, too. That's where the crystals came from. The crystals thing was a thing that evolved into something very intense, but it started there. And some lady walked in and gave me these big quartz crystals, very expensive quartz crystals, and just gave them to me.
Oh, how nice.
And then a lady came in a couple weeks later, and she looked at me and she said, oh, I see you got your crystals back. I'm like, I don't know these people. And they keep telling me all this stuff. I got my crystals back. She goes, I said, and I just looked at her and instinctively said, yes, I did. And she goes, yeah. She goes, you used to use those crystals all the time. And they said, those are very powerful crystals. You really connect to those things, and they're yours. And you had an ability to bring things to you. And the crystals were the first, and then many things afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, this is crazy.
That's cool, though.
That was the first question. No, I'm just kidding. I was, you know, my biggest thing is right now, like you said before, and this is, like I said, I'm not trying to be egotistic or nothing. It's just the idea I've been putting so much into this and everything I've been doing lately that I guess you would say the outcome or the return, I always feel like it should be a whole lot more than it is, because I shouldn't be sitting here going, where is the next reading going to be coming from? Or when is that, you know, and I know I shouldn't be even thinking that way in the first place, but I'm just saying from time to time I do stop and go, you know something? I should have all these opportunities knocking on my freaking door. I did come up with the Colorado Fund, saying traveling to Colorado Fund. So if you want to donate to that and help me get to Colorado, I would take anything into it. And I was just in my in there going typing, and then I just, what the hell? And my angels were like, now you're using your creative imagination. Okay, I got it. Then keep going. So I went in there, and next thing I know, I was redoing my whole website. I replaced pictures with, and they told me my animal totem or my animal guide is a unicorn.
You know what? So is mine.
Yeah, so I...
A white
people,
unicorn.
Yeah, the white unicorn, and one lady freaked out when I told her. I said, how many horns does a unicorn have? And they go, one. Not really. It's actually two horns combined together. It's called unity balance. And she was like, no way. I don't know. I guess my unicorn's lying to me. You know? But I mean, I'm pretty sure you've had people say that to you, too, when you're sitting there. I've done medium work. And I'm sitting there going, I say something to them. This is what your grandmother said. And I go, that's something my grandma would say. I said, no, she just did say it. Did you catch
that part? Yeah, I do that all the time. When I'm talking to people, sometimes I'll say something that a deceased person would say, and they're like, hey, that's something, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the last thing, I mean, what I was saying, I was like, okay, I expect all this stuff to come to me. And the last reading I got from my friend Nicole, she said, I think it was her, and somebody else said, she goes, you don't realize, that she, oh, Harriet, I don't know if you know this lady, her name is Harriet Knight, she has a show on Blog Talk Radio, too. And I was sitting talking to her, she was a guest last Friday. She said that, you don't understand, she goes, you've already put everything in the works, it's coming to you. It's just you got to be impatient, and you know, you got to get to March. I said, we'll have to wait to March. And it's almost like they kind of put it in the context of saying, if you wait till March, you'll see why. I'm like, oh, I know that kind of stuff too, and it'll all be revealed to me.
Just, it's difficult to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because I'm sitting here going, I told my friend, I said, I understand how it works. I'm not focusing on the 34 cents. I'm trying to look at the 34 cents as being $3,400. You know, I do those kind of things all the time. But it's not the idea of focusing on money. It's just the idea of what I put out. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be mean or nothing. I'm just saying when I go, like you said, when I do readings, I mean, I just give myself completely to that person at that moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I've always been taught, and that's what I told a friend of mine. It's like, I don't expect anything in return. I've been saying, the way I've been taught, the more you put out there, the more you get back. And I've always been told and taught that when you put yourself in service, that everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of slowness on that taking care of things. So.
Well, but you know what? I feel the same way for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like with my books, you know, it's like I just feel like sometimes I'm banging my head against the wall. You know,
mm-hmm.
but everything, it just comes so slowly, so I keep telling myself I'm not done learning the process yet, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep talking about, and I've heard this a couple times too, they keep saying, it's time to sit down and write this book. And boy, do I keep getting a, have you ever hit your head, and there's that weird feeling you have when you hit your head?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't bust your head open or nothing, but there's just a weirdness about it when you hit your head, like a twang or something. I don't know how to.
Yeah, it's almost like a reverberating sound or something.
Yeah, and see, when I sit down to do this book, I am so scared to death this is not going to be received the way I want to put it out. And even though at the same time they keep telling me this is not going to be it. And I also read this book by Doreen Virtue when she was saying what she did the I think it was angel therapy, I think it was, or healing with the angels when she did the first part of the book. It was all channeled, so she didn't know what it even was. So the angels were just channeling this through her, and she was just writing this, and she never really knew what the first part of the book was until it was published, and it got published very easily too.
Yeah.
And she was kind of scared to death, but she did do that. She gave up, let it go. I just didn't say give up. She let it go. And I've been subjected to all those things. And still, I've written 3 pages. I think they gave me a good name for the book. And it was just, when I sit there and say, let me say the name to you and see what you think, okay?
Okay.
Love will save you, so let it. Using the law of attraction to find true love.
I think it would sell. And I think your biggest buyers would be women.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to identify with women very easily.
Yeah.
And I was really, and then when I started talking to you, I thought that was just one of those things to go right toward that, to have you come on this show. It was just, for some reason, it was very important. And I think it wasn't the idea of answering my questions. I'm just saying that the process of having these conversations about Atlantis and connections and knowing people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like I've known you. I think I've known you for a long, long time. So,
yeah. Well, it's really funny because I have a on Facebook. I have a group, and it's Past Life Memoirs of Atlantis. And I have my book up there, and I have almost 4,000 followers.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we're really connecting.
Yeah, I was trying to get people to understand the gravity of how advanced, but how huge. Because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I can see it. When I looked at the Mediterranean and I saw that island's crates, I said, that's where it was. I said, but do you think you're really going to find anything in that freaking place? And a volcano exploded. But it was also the idea, I said, because someone asked me about the whole thing. So why would an advanced culture like that build a society around a volcano? I said, let me ask you a question. Where do you find quartz crystals?
Yep.
And they go, usually around volcanoes. Well, there you go. We're also talking about an advanced culture that was really thriving, but didn't have any problems until other people came into it to intersect. But also realizing that, I guess you would understand the power of people that they had, control over that too as well. Okay, the land, the sky, everything. So therefore, when the balance was disrupted, it disrupted everything and went with it too. And if they had this volcano, basically, as we put it, under control for so long to keep it from doing that, they must have knew what the potential of it was in the first place. So when they lost that balance, they also lost containment and, you know, the whole thing. But I still think that there were still some survivors that stayed there and rebuilt underneath the water. I don't know why, but I just feel like there is. And just interesting. I'm sorry, Candy, but I understand it's late and stuff. I didn't mean to keep you.
That's okay. That's okay. But yeah, we'll definitely talk again. I would love to, like I said, you know, come back on and do some readings. It's really funny because, like on my own show, I just take charge and I just, you know, do the whole thing. And on other people's shows, I'm very slow to hop in.
That's okay.
As you can tell.
No, every once in a while I tell everybody, I say, you know, when the information comes and I start flowing with it, you know, and that kind of thing, I was apologizing to people and they're going, why? They're like, we're just sitting back and listening. I said, you are? I said, I guess I've been around my family too long with they don't listen. That's the idea of actually someone that is listening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever had that problem before, but...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so it was like, oh my gosh, you know, so, you know, and I looked at the whole thing and I told this woman, I said, I sensed it too. I've seen people sit back and go, okay, that was like round the money.
Mm-hmm.
Why the heck is he not, you know, and I guess that was the question I was trying to ask you was, asking why am I not further along, huh?
But you are. You're right where you should be.
I know.
And you know what's funny is I've done the same thing, and people say, sweetheart, you're right where you should be. You're not you're not too slow. You're not too fast. You're exactly where you need to be right now.
So we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do.
We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And
you're
if
exactly
we didn't feel right, then we're not following our path. And it's funny because I was supposed to do Blog Talk Radio, you know, clear back in July of last year, but I didn't hop on it until October because fear stopped me.
Yeah, it's kind of. Well, what I did was I did almost like you did, except for back in June I did one show, and then for some reason I ran away with the carnival. I called my boss up and said there was a lot of things going on at the time, and I felt like now I look back at him going, okay, that was just using those as excuses to jump and go. And then I came back and started back up in October.
Yeah.
It was like kind of crazy. Mm.
You know, you're doing pretty good. You seem to have trouble with co-hosts. I have this feeling whether it's because they feel like you're better than them or if they just, they're bored, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That they need to move on and kind of do their own thing. So, but I do think that don't rely on other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this show right here. You have taken charge. You have a pretty good thing going. You have a lot of damn people listening to you. You know.
Yeah. That's why I'm here. I actually had Linda West on here, and I heard she's got a book out too. And I think I've had a lot of people with books, and I'm getting to the point where I'm going, I need to have one of mine too.
You do.
Because I found your book, and I was like, I have to have that book on this page for this show. So I went in there, and I go, I found it. I'm like, cool. And I just felt like it was one of those books I need to acquire, too, and add to my collection as well.
Yeah. But, a lot of people feel like that. When they see that book, they immediately see a movie, you know, and it's been out
mm-hmm.
since 2007, and...
I'm just grateful when people do, you know, get a hold of me and say, hey, I read your book, and you know, I was there too, and they'll tell me mm-hmm. their memories, you know, of the place,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, a lot of things you said in there are just right on the money, you know, and like I tell people, I was there before the third fall, so I wasn't there a lot, because I know a lot of people I meet were there before, you know, they had
mm-hmm.
lifetimes before that, and so a lot of things that they say, you know, about the dolphins and this and that, I, no recollection, because I had no dealings with that.
Right.
So.
But a lot of times what people don't understand, when you sit there and talk about people having connection with dolphins and that kind of stuff, those
mm-hmm.
could be also individual connections.
Oh, yeah.
So, so, because I tell everybody, I said, the idea of Atlantis, and you're looking at this, you're looking at history. That's
mm-hmm.
what you're. That's what you're trying to find. You're trying to find history, and you're not going to find that in the true sense like you know now, like you said, in a worldly sense. You're not going to find the history like that. It's done differently. It was done differently there, and I do. And they actually did find some things where Edgar Casey said that they were going to find in the Paul of the Great Sphinx,
mm-hmm.
they were going to find Atlantean library with material and stuff in there. Now they've done the radar thing because the Egyptian government will not let them go in there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
But they did find it in the exact space where he said there would be a opening where there would be literature and stuff in there. They have found a space in there.
Mm-hmm.
They just have not talked anybody into letting them go in there and do
yeah.
things and do stuff. And I like to go there myself because being in an empath and picking things up by touching things.
Yeah.
That would be kind of fascinating with me because I've actually learned how to not to absorb too much. There for a while, I had a hard time with certain people. They would just, some of my friends would just walk up and grab me by the arm, and
mm-hmm.
I would just absorb all that negative stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All that drama.
Oh yeah, I used to have that issue too. I still do at times.
Migraines, and I had a friend of mine named Betsy. Now she was cool about it. She knew one day she walked in and she was having so much trouble with her family. Everybody, she just grabbed my leg, and I was like, oh shoot. I walked out there, and her friends were like, well, that's being rude. And she said, nope, he's not being rude. She goes, he just absorbed all my negativity, so he has to get rid of it. So she was... So she was actually a cool girl. I was like, you know, it's amazing sometimes when you look at people
right.
in certain ages that are very young, but some of them
huh.
have got some really good, they know what's up. They might be caught up in the world itself, and people might judge them by certain things that they do they should be doing, but
mm-hmm.
intelligence and some of the things that come up with, gotta look deeper with them.
Yeah.
That was interesting itself. I'm just saying, I'm sitting here at my mom's, and I guess you would say I'm running the upstairs, and I am so ready to go.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Just hang on a little bit longer, and you will. That's all
like,
I can say.
I need the opportunity tomorrow, okay?
You will have that opportunity, and you will go. And I have this feeling that everything is going to start falling into place for you. You're going to start doing what you need to be doing.
Yeah, because, I mean, the biggest thing I'm having trouble with, I tell people, and it's one of the things I've been learning, too. I pass on to everybody else, saying, okay, you're going to have people around you that's going to keep telling you what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are, and you're going to find a lot of Christians are like, well, it says in the Bible that you should listen to God, and they always say guidance. And when what you should go. So therefore, we believe you should go this way.
mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what? Okay, hold up. You got me confused on that one. I should be doing it this way, huh? Okay, gosh. So,
I know. I hate it when people tell you what to do. They're like, oh, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. It's like, no.
I told this one lady the other day, I said, do you realize that people that are really spiritual have a lower rate of divorce than Christians do? And she's like, are you serious? So you didn't know that, did you?
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah, the people talking about this next step. It drives me crazy. I do relationship counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear the next step. The next step is to move in. No, it's not. I said,
no.
Do you realize that people who live together have a higher rate of divorce than people who don't? Ooh. Oh, I guess you didn't know that either. So, you know, you think it's, I mean, it's kind of crazy. 20 years ago, living together was taboo. Now it's the next step. It's kind of amazing how the human race is kind of writing their own justifications, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, next thing, well, I keep telling everybody, next thing they're going to do is, you know, murder is going to be okay.
As long as you do it for the right reasons. You know, I told that one lady, what was it, that one year when that lady killed her husband in New York, and she got off, because of temporary insanity because she was PMSing. I said a lot of guys that year didn't was real nice to their wives.
Oh yes, they were.
So well, you know, don't be surprised. So
oh, yeah.
It was,
I'm not surprised. Definitely not surprised. Well, I'm ready to get going. It's
all right. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're very welcome. Well, another time. Let me know.
If you ever get a chance to come on the morning shows and just kind of jump in.
You know, the only problem is that I work. Even though
oh,
I work from
right.
home, it's so hard for me to. There are so many morning shows I would love to. Well, we own a glass and screen company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have to answer the phone. So, you know, I've done it a few times, but it's just, it is so hard. You know,
mm-hmm.
because when the phone rings, I have to go, you have to hang up.
Gotcha,
you know, especially when
gotcha.
I'm right in the middle of a great conversation and it's like, I got to go, you know.
Right. And let me ask you a question real quick. Everybody's been telling me this girl I'm going to meet in Colorado is a healer. And that she already has a business, and I'll be basically becoming a part of her situation out there. And that'll happen.
I think
very
she already
quickly.
Has something going, yeah. She has some kind of a financial situation that is already up and running. That's what I feel.
Yeah, because they said you're going to be becoming a part of her, but at the same time, being an asset to each other.
Yeah.
But they also keep talking about me doing more of that kind of work, too. So I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay.
You should be doing more of that work, in my opinion. That's what I feel.
Because I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine. I was like, maybe that's why I'm always attracted to those movies. I saw a movie the other day, Airbender. I thought it was really a crappy movie, the way it was put together.
Uh-huh.
But the concept and the elements and that kind of stuff, I was like, I've always been attracted. Okay, that's what it came to me real quickly. Why am I attracted to those kind of movies? And I started thinking about the true sense of Atlanteans and spiritual and
mm-hmm.
nature, working with nature and that kind of stuff. It made sense then. So I'll let you go. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just
well,
I could talk about this forever.
I know. I know. Atlantis is like so fascinating. But yeah, we'll talk again later. So have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you. And
okay.
It was a pleasure. It really was. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.